I have to confess to something.
What?
It's fun to watch you get flustered. I know that sounds terrible, but it is. You came in and you're flustered because somebody's parked in your space,
well,
and that's not fair.
Just, I don't understand Chicago traffic. I really don't. Some days, my time varies by 20 minutes every day.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's construction, so you think there's a project.
Sure.
And then the next day, there is no construction.
Right.
But I don't understand.
But you reported on traffic at another radio station for many years.
I didn't know what I was saying.
That's disconcerting.
Well, sorry. I wanted to keep my voice out there every day. There were no jobs in radio.
But you always seem surprised. You always come in whenever there's any kind of a traffic situation. You're amazed by it. And then I have to remind you. But your job for years was to tell people that there was traffic. So it shouldn't shock you that much that the traffic times vary.
I'm not like a Mary Vandeveld. She knows it. I don't even know what the Edens is. I don't think I've
Edens
ever
Expressway?
Been on the Edens.
Oh, you would love the Edens.
That's why I was late. I was on the Edens.
No, that's not near your house.
I know, that's what
get
I'm
you
saying.
Here. That, you took the wrong expressway.
I took the train today because the traffic has been so bad.
Traffic has been awful.
But it's so willy-nilly.
That's the guy who decides the traffic patterns. That's his name.
I want to slug him.
On Lower Wacker Drive, sometimes you fly through it,
yeah.
And sometimes it takes me longer to get from one end of Lower Wacker to work than it does the whole trip
right.
here.
I know.
I don't really understand
there
it.
There isn't any rhyme or reason, but it is fun to see you come in.
It is raining, remember.
And
it's not raining.
It rained
earlier.
It
was
earlier.
Raining earlier.
Don't be combative. Please,
I'm not being combative.
No, he's saying me. He doesn't pick on you, Mary.
No. Yeah. Lower Wacker's full of road work, too.
But sometimes it's there and sometimes it's not.
Right. Well, luckily.
And you know what it is? It's not even there. They're working on, the banks by the river and everything. They park their cars there.
Yes.
And they close off the lanes. I'm like, really? Can you park somewhere else?
The good news is, Wendy, you always leave yourself a cushion, even in the brighter days.
Can I tell you, when I leave 20 minutes earlier, I get here exactly the same time.
Sometimes I'll come down to your office just to say hello.
Oh, I come here. Show starts at 10.
9:48. Oh, yeah, too early. Sorry.
Oh, that's way too early.
But then Mary figures into the other thing that got you flustered. You were flustered about the traffic, and then because somebody was parked in your parking space. And then we're all situating, getting ready for the show, and it's time for Mary to do the traffic. And you go, Mary's not supposed to be doing the traffic now?
I know. How are we lucky enough to get Mary to do traffic?
We had some technical issues.
Some scheduling problems upstairs.
Yes, a technical problem.
That happens. Hmm.
So are you with us this morning?
Well, for a little while.
No, we're hoping to have it fixed by the 10:30 report.
Oh, right. Would have been nice if Steve told me that you were doing traffic, too. He said off the air, I should have told you.
Not everything is my job. I said Mary should have told you.
It was last minute. Don't blame this on me.
See what she does?
I've had a rough day with Cochran. Now I'm with you.
We won't give you a rough time.
We
Bertrand
promise.
Gives everyone a
Thanks.
Rough time.
It's not true. I like Bill.
But thank you, Steve. But I it is, and I know this is selfish because everybody doesn't get to experience this. But those moments leading up to the show are really funny to watch.
I'm like a whirling dervish in
yeah.
here. What was his name? Mr. Kratz. He grew up. I grew up, and he lived down the block, and he always called me the White Tornado because I had really
Mr.
blonde
Kratz
hair.
Is right.
And everywhere I come in, it's like the White Tornado.
The other show had guests, and I've seen this happen before.
What
and
did
they're
I do?
Like they're watching this just this
I'm like
funnel
a human
cloud
pinball.
Yeah, and they feared for their lives. They said to me, "Is there a faster way out of the studio?" And I go, "No, there's only the one door. Just good luck." And they put helmets on. I don't know where they got helmets, but they put helmets on to get out of here.
We talked about this before, and listeners called in. I need that anxiety to get me sparked.
Right.
I really do.
Right.
If I'm here too early, it's like, you know, I need to just come in and jump in. I've spent my whole life like that.
When I was a film major and I was studying to be a screenwriter, and the first thing they taught us is for a story to be good, it needs conflict. And I kind of understood that. But then once I started working with you, I went, oh, yes, now I see.
I'm not that hard to work with.
No, you're not
conflict.
Hard to work with, but the conflict needs to be like on days where things are going good and you're relaxed.
It's I'm just
the show
complacent.
Suffers.
Wow, I didn't know you were critiquing me every
no,
day.
I
love that, Wendy, you're just, no, we're not being critical of you.
We're not.
No, we're not.
Oh, that's funny.
We're not.
No, but you're just a little on edge right now, so you're hearing it that way.
Right, right.
I think other people are hearing it that way as well.
But it is. But you have to know, like, if you were outside looking in at this, I know the things are, when you come in and you are like that, when you are flustered by everything, it's better for the role of the show. You know?
It is. That's how I operate. Yes. You've known me a long time. I've kind of always been like this.
And so we want to thank you for going through this because...
That's it.
Everyone's better for it.
It's going to be a great show today.
I think
you're taking that the wrong way, Steve.
No. This is not a slam in any way. It's just it's observers to the situation saying, we've noticed on days where things are more tense, which is more days than not, right?
That's how I roll.
Right.
I mean, you wonder why I have anxiety? This is why.
But don't you
need friction for fire?
I do.
Yes.
Or natural gas?
Yes.
Well, now we've got it all.
Covered. Situation covered. But you know, if you put those days back to back, a day where things are going well and you just come in and, you know, then you just sit down and you're like, uh-oh, now what? Now I'm afraid on those days where things are going well for you.
I know. I need to be sparked.
Right. That's it exactly.
I do. I mean, that's just how I roll.
That's it exactly. That's why I think you enjoy the Bears. That's why like guys like me check out and I go, oh no, a disaster waiting to happen. I can't watch this carnage. But you thrive on those moments. You like that kind of.
I don't like when things are just boring and simple. I really don't.
No one does. I don't think anyone likes boring and simple.
So, you know, you need some blood pressure fluctuations while watching the Bears. I can't wait till hockey season and it's less than a month away.
I know.
That's all I'm
telling you. Coming fast.
What's the magic number?
Well, for the Cubs, it's 3. For Kevin's wedding, it's...
Ask him.
Oh, Kevin, what's the magic number on your wedding?
Let's see. Carry the 0 a week from Friday. So, 9, 8?
Seriously? You have to think about it that hard?
That's sad.
Listen.
It's 9.
It's tough because it changes every day.
It does. It goes down by 1 every day. No, he's right. He's right.
God,
oh, speaking of the Blackhawks, do you know what I forgot to tell you? I had this great text conversation with Doc Emmerich two weeks ago. Did I tell
you
this?
Amazing.
I don't know if I told you or not. The Cubs were in Los Angeles playing the Dodgers, and it was the last time that Vin Scully would call a game, a Cubs game. He's going to finish out the rest of the season for the Dodgers, but it's the last time that the Cubs would be in Los Angeles playing the Dodgers. So they really focused a lot on Vin Scully. And for people who don't know who that is, he's the best baseball announcer that's ever been. There's no disputing it. He's just great. So they were talking about him, and he actually did a full inning. Usually you only get to hear him if you're on the Dodgers side, if you're in Los Angeles, but they broadcast him doing a whole inning of the game. This is a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday. So they were saying such nice things about him, about how he really is the voice of baseball, and he turns it into an art form, and he makes it so poetic. And I didn't expect to hear from Doc Emmerich, who does, you know, the Blackhawks games, the playoff games. But I just sent him a game saying, hey, I'm watching the Cubs. They're saying great things about Vin Scully, and everything they're saying about Vin Scully, I would say about you. All those things could be said about you. And within a minute and a half of me texting him, he texted me back just saying how much he's enjoying the show. He's, you know, he's a lot more time during the off season to listen to the show. And he was so thankful. And he goes, oh, you don't have to say that. But it needed to be said. He is to hockey, I think, what Vin Scully is to baseball.
Absolutely. I would agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
And for so many years, I thought it was Vince Scully.
Vin.
I know. But for years, I thought it was Vince Scully.
His dad is the inventor of the VIN number on your car, that long number thing. Did you know
Thank
that?
Thank God.
Yeah, without that, cars were getting stolen everything. Left and right. But he invented that and then named his son after that. What a nice tribute.
Yeah, it is a great tribute.
They were just going to name his son a long series of numbers, like an 18.
Starting with an XV.
Yeah. And then his wife said, that's ridiculous. Let's just call him Vin. And there's the legend right there.
And that is today's history lesson from Professor Les.
Yes. Now you know the rest of the fake story. All right. Let's take a quick break. It should be a good one. Wendy's a little flustered, and that's always a good sign. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. You can call us or text us at 312-981-7200. You know what I'm kind of confused about? Yesterday, toward the end of the show, we were talking about some minor things that people can do or have done recently that have landed them in jail. For instance, it's now possible in one town anyway to, if you have a overdue library book after a certain amount of time, that town now has the right to come and get you and put you in jail.
For 30 days.
For 30 days.
Arkansas, I want to say.
That sounds right. Yeah, I think that sounds right. And then what was the other thing? There was something else going on yesterday.
Stealing French fries.
Yeah, a woman stole fries.
But it was a police officer, and she took one fry and then took another, and he said, please don't do that. Yeah. You're stealing.
Yeah.
And she went and took another one, and then he arrested her.
Right.
But if they're McDonald's fries, you can't pass that
up. It is hard to stop. All right, so here's the reason that this confuses me. As we established yesterday, there are things you can do that wouldn't normally put you in jail, but now they can. John Hinckley was just released from prison. John Hinckley was the guy who tried to assassinate Ronald Reagan. Squeaky Fromm, who is also a would-be assassin, she was not successful, was released from jail a couple of years ago. If you can try to kill the president of the United States and at some point the jail system decides, you're free to leave, what does that say?
I know. I was thinking about that, Bill, and it's like attempting to take the life of a president. I don't care good behavior or not. You're in. You're done.
Well, Hinckley was in prison with mental illness.
He was one of the times they were able to use that defense, correct?
Yeah.
I believe so.
There were pictures of him yesterday just kind of shopping at a Target store, which, you know.
Wow, he's not cured.
No, he's still near a Target.
Stop.
But doesn't that make you slightly, I mean, I know
you,
people
talk about
how. You
mean if you were at a Target and you looked over and saw
and
him, would
John
you recognize
Hinckley.
Him?
No, he looks quite a bit older.
I wouldn't recognize him.
He really
him.
Does look quite a bit older.
And God
and
knows
he is older.
Who you're standing next to in line at any given place.
Right, right. But it just, it's a weird, I understand about rehabilitation. I don't remember what we were talking about a couple of years ago when somebody called up and they had done some time in prison and talked about how important it is to be rehabilitated. And I get that, and I applaud you if you go through that. But you would think that that's one of those things that you would do, could possibly do, that a judge would say, boy, that guy tried to kill the president of the United States. We can't release him ever.
Yeah, that's surprising.
And Squeaky Fromm, too. And in that case, she got released with almost no fanfare at all. I only knew about this. It's a weird reason that I knew about this, but I read the book about Phil Hartman. There was a book a little over a year ago that a Chicago author wrote about Phil Hartman, the life of Phil Hartman from Saturday Night Live. And one of the there's a passage about how when he was in high school, he and Squeaky Fromm, who was in his graduating class, were the two class clowns. He was on the male side, obviously. She on the female side.
She doesn't seem too funny.
She's not that funny, Squeaky Fromm.
I didn't even realize she got released.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean, is I don't remember seeing any story about that at all. And I thought to myself, boy, Lynette Fromm, that's a name from the past. I wonder where she's still serving time. And it turns out she was released several years ago with, like, no fanfare at all. They just let her go.
I'm looking at these pictures of John Hinckley.
Yeah.
I think I have that same shirt.
The blue one?
Did you get it at Target?
I might have. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like a shirt that, yeah, it's
that
the shirt that every guy in the world has, that
right.
John Hinckley blue shirt.
But you wouldn't recognize,
like if you were in Target, you were shopping, there's just another guy, not, oh, there's a guy who tried to kill the president a couple decades ago.
Yeah, I just feel like, shouldn't he have an escort with him at all times?
He's free. Had his treatment, and
yeah.
That's what the law says.
This was 35 years ago that all this happened. Ronald Reagan's would-be assassin enjoyed his first taste of freedom by doing some shopping at Target. John Hinckley Jr. was released on Saturday from custody and will now live full-time at his 90-year-old mother's house in Williamsburg, Virginia.
Taking all the money that she has.
Right, and spending it at Target. Mom, where's the Target card? I want to get some Jodie Foster CDs.
Ouch.
Still too soon.
And I should have said DVDs. If I was replaying that, I would have gone with DVDs than CDs. One day later, and 35 years after Hinckley shot Ronald Reagan in a deranged attempt to impress actress Jodie Foster, Hinckley was spotted wearing a cap. Quick time out, if I may. Does Jodie Foster have any say in this? Because if you'll remember, he did this to impress Jodie Foster. So does somebody come to Jodie Foster and say, Miss Foster, are you comfortable with the idea of us letting John Hinckley Jr. out?
I don't think she has a say in it.
He was convicted and he was sentenced and he fulfilled the terms of the sentence. They might have given her a heads up just as a courtesy.
I think you can register
and then they notify you if someone is up for parole or if someone's been released.
Yeah. Yeah. Hinckley was spotted wearing a cap and a blue shirt, the kind that Steve Bertrand might wear. It says here in the story.
It's a small blue plaid that I think Jimmy Mack has as well.
Every guy on the planet has this shirt.
It's standard issue when you leave.
They give them they go, here, if you want to assimilate into society, you're going to need this shirt.
That's why we all have them, yeah.
He just looks like a regular guy. There's no way on earth I would recognize him.
Right. So he was wearing his cap and shirt while perusing belts, pants, and other clothes at Target, and then he went to Kohl's, it says here. Washington, D.C. District Attorney Paul Friedman declared Hinckley fit to leave a mental hospital in July.
He's not that fit. I'm looking at the pictures.
He's put on a few. He has put on a few pounds. Jodie Foster is not going to like this version of John Hinckley.
Again,
dressed to impress,
honor.
Not working.
Right, your honor, too soon.
All right, I get it. This is a process, it says, his being fit to leave that has been years in the making. Doctors said for many years that John Hinckley, who was found not guilty by reason of insanity in the shooting, was no longer plagued by mental illness.
Wow, that's good that they were able to help him like that.
You just hope that they're right. You hope that something doesn't happen that makes him snap. I mean, I guess you could say that about anybody.
Right.
Right.
I could snap at any moment.
It mentions that in the story. You're mentioned in the story. It is fair to say that the lives of few people have been scrutinized with the care and detail that John Hinckley has, said Friedman. For more than 27 years, Mr. Hinckley, by all accounts, has shown no signs of psychotic symptoms or delusional thinking or any other violent tendencies.
He also went to Kohl's because there's a picture of him, and typically a Kohl's and a Target are right next door to each other. God, don't you want to know what he bought? What's wrong with me? I want to look in his bag.
My guess, based on the shirt that he's wearing, is similar shirts. I would just say that whatever, he probably went in and said, do you have this in a forest green?
Yeah, because he was away for a while. He doesn't have a big wardrobe at his mom's house,
well,
I'm sure.
He'd been able to leave from time to time. So.
Oh, that's true.
And yeah. I don't think, probably in his institution, I don't know if he was wearing prison garb or not.
I can't tell by the story, Steve, because they're saying a mental hospital.
Right.
And some have more prison-like aspects than others.
Right.
You know? So I don't know exactly to what extent the hospital was, but... It's to me anyway, it's slightly disconcerting to know that at least one and actually two, if you're counting Lynette Fromm, you got two people that took shots at presidents and they're walking around. I know time has passed.
I know,
but it still makes me a little nervous.
At the time, those two incidents seemed so far apart,
didn't they?
And now, if you look at it, they were 5 years, 6 years apart.
Yeah.
How does Target feel about this? Well, at least we're getting business,
right? Right.
I mean, it's no fault of theirs.
Right.
You know?
Oh, right. Of course. Yeah. All right. We'll take a quick break. Steve has the news coming up next, and then a full show, including Hannibal Buress later on.
I cannot wait to talk to him.
He's hysterical.
I don't even want to talk to him about funny stuff. I want to talk to him about him pretty much breaking this Bill Cosby case wide open.
He did. It was his on-air, not on-air.
A YouTube video, wasn't it?
It became a viral YouTube shot of him talking about Bill Cosby, and then all of a sudden... You know the rest.
Yeah.
So that happens later on. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Here's good news.
Do you want a new toy?
I would love to have a new toy. I've got a bunch, but I'm always looking for new ones. Every year, they have nominees for the Hall of Fame of Toys, the Strungs. That's the name of the company behind this, the Strong's National Toy Hall of Fame. I think they're in New York. I'm almost positive they're in New York.
I think New York for some reason.
I don't know why. Did you ever go when they had the big FAO Schwartz in New York?
I've never been. I was in New York for 6 hours.
That's it? Oh, you went for some
with
some
Buzz
junket.
Kilman. Yes, it was for The Sopranos second season. We flew in, went to a release party. Buzz took me to Carnegie Deli.
Oh, yeah, that's
a
landmark.
And then we hopped on a plane and went home.
New York's a great place. Magical place. They used to have, it's not there anymore, they used to have this huge department store, the FAO Schwartz, and we had one in Chicago, which was nice, but the one in New York, it's
was
the one
better?
That they did, you know,
Elf?
The movie Big.
Oh, yeah.
They shot that there. Not the whole thing, but the toy scenes anyway.
That's like a castle of toys.
Oh, it was amazing.
Not to be confused with Dispensa's. Remember, did you used to go there?
Loved it.
Come to Dispensa's, Castle of Toys.
Oak Brook Terrace, Illinois. Except it looked really cool on the outside, and then inside it just kind of looked like a building.
It totally did.
It wasn't that cool on the inside.
But it sucked you in. Every thing.
You could see it. Like, if you were shopping at Oak Brook,
yep.
you could look over the horizon, and you just saw this giant castle.
With the giant toy soldiers yeah. guarding it.
That was excellent, wasn't it?
We had a great childhood.
Yeah, yeah.
Who needed iPhones?
Who needed them? We had Etch-A-Sketch. Way better.
Shake, shake, shake.
Every year they come up with 12 nominees to see if they can be in the Toy Hall of Fame. And I will
tell
you.
Every year you report on it.
Yes, I get excited. I think the station should send me out to do the red carpet.
I'm not even kidding. Why don't you pitch them with that? I'll stay back here because I have no interest in that.
I'll pitch them on it, but let's do the over and under on how many seconds before they say no. I would say 5 seconds and they would go, no.
No, that's the old regime. The new regime here will, I mean.
Will you think they'd let me?
Yes.
No, but it'd be like 12 seconds.
Oh, come on. It's perfect
Build
for you.
Build up a little more hope. I did pitch them before you came here. They do this thing in February that they call Toy Fair. And what they do at Toy Fair is they show you all the new toys that'll be out for Christmas. Even though it's February, they're planning that far ahead because they need to get orders ready. So about 5 years ago, I said, hey, every year they have this toy, and they're like all interested. And it's not the bosses we have now. It was the previous bosses. And they said, we'll get back to you. And by the time I got to my office, there was already an email that said, we thought about your proposal, and it's just not in our best interest.
Where did that take place?
In New York. Also in New York.
Well, in February, we should work that out.
I'd love to. I would love to go. Well, here are the finalists for this year's Hall of Fame, Toy Hall of Fame. I bet you have the same reaction that I had on a couple of these. My reaction on a couple of these was, how is that not already in the Toy Hall of Fame? And then on some of these, you go, well, that doesn't deserve to be in the Toy Hall of Fame. Here are this year's finalists. They're alphabetical, which is, the first one will really set a weird precedent for the Toy Hall of Fame. But do you think that bubble wrap should be in the Toy Hall of Fame?
Oh, my God. Seriously?
Yeah, I don't think that should be in there.
That should be in the Museum of Fun Things to Do That Aren't Supposed to Be Fun.
Right. I know.
That's not a toy.
That is not. Bubble wrap is not a toy.
Are sticks in the Toy Hall of Fame?
Sticks are not in the Hall of Fame, Kevin. Good
question.
Well,
you got to consider the same thing then.
It's similar. Although, you know what is in the Toy Hall of Fame? I'm not making this up. A cardboard box. That is already in the Toy Hall of Fame.
For cats?
No, for people. You know how kids. On Christmas,
oh, like a refrigerator box or something?
Yeah, or sometimes, do you ever do this? Like, this used to happen with my nephews. We'd buy them a toy, and then they'd take the toy out of the box, and they'd play with the toy for a minute, and then they'd play with the box for the rest of the night.
I wonder how many times, like, the janitor at the Hall of Fame has accidentally thrown away the box.
They can't keep that exhibit
running.
Or the
bubble wrap, yeah.
Bubble wrap was created by accident in 1957 by two engineers who were attempting to develop a new kind of wallpaper. Now, I will admit, to this day, if I get something that's packed in bubble wrap, I will pop every bubble.
Oh, that's a given.
You have to.
Do you then just, like, kind of put it all together and twist it so it pops really quickly and loudly?
But it's more fun to stomp on it.
It is. You know, you started as a kid, you would do the one, and you'd go, oh, my God, that's so fun, and you keep doing it. But then it's like you want more.
You can't help yourself.
One is not enough.
Did you know you can eat the peanuts, that the packing peanuts?
You can, are they edible?
Not all of them.
But.
Some of them are made out of the same stuff those little flying saucers
candies really?
Were made out of.
Well,
they dissolve.
It's corn. It's made out of corn, I think.
Oh.
What isn't?
I didn't know that.
I'm made out of corn.
Are you really? Are you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that
we
about
get the
you.
Corn products everywhere.
That's excellent.
Yeah, I would cheat, my friend.
All right, so bubble wrap is one of the 12 finalists, as are the Care Bears.
Yeah.
Now, when I think of Care Bears, I just say that, well, that's a cartoon. I don't think of that as a toy. Do
They're
you?
A stuffed animal. Yeah,
yeah. They made a stuffed animal version.
Years ago.
The 80s. It began as a line of greeting cards in the early 1980s, but then evolved into a brand whose bears starred in storybooks, television shows, and games. I vote no on the Care Bears. They don't belong in the Toy Hall of Fame.
I don't agree. I mean, I agree with you. They're stupid.
What were the bears that were teddy bears that were so popular in the mid 80s? There was a huge toy.
Teddy Ruxpins?
No, it was a gift, like a Christmas gift.
Oh, the Build-A-Bear.
No, it wasn't a Build-A-Bear. I don't think it was the Care Bears, though.
Is it Berenstain Bears?
No.
No?
It was a huge phenomenon. There was a Milwaukee radio station.
Phenomenon.
There was a Milwaukee radio station. I was living there at the time that did an event where they said, you know, every mom wanted them for their kid for Christmas.
But not Teddy Ruxpin?
No, it was a line of them.
Boy, what could that have been?
And they were going to drop them from helicopters at County Stadium.
Really?
People showed up.
Wow. Yeah. That's serious.
That didn't happen.
If you know what that is, call us 312-981-7200. I don't know what that is.
Someone, by the way, has texted that they have ridden their bike over bubble wrap, and that's very
fun. Oh, that would be fun. Yeah. That would be a lot of fun. Here's another one. This is one of the candidates for this year's class for the Toy Hall of Fame in New York. A coloring book.
Okay. A, that should have been in there
from day one
on the first induction.
Right.
And two, It's not really a toy.
It's not a toy, but I think their goal with any of these is just what fills the time of a child or me. Like, what's the thing that we could give a child or me that would just keep them occupied?
I'm with you, and they do make adult coloring books. You can find them everywhere.
They're very popular.
I love to color. Don't you still to this day like to color?
I hadn't colored in 20-something years. And then when Reese and Kylie were little, of course, because they're kids, we gave them coloring books, and I would, you know, lay down on the floor with them and color. So relaxing.
Someone's saying it is the Care Bears that was really
popular.
They had a lot of different colors.
Yeah, no, someone texted. It was the Cabbage Patch Dolls.
I thought so, but they weren't teddy bears.
I was mistaken. I apologize.
Like dolls that got their heads smushed.
Dolls that were teddy bears.
Yeah. I went to my niece Kara, who she's older now, but when her first Christmas, she wanted a Cabbage Patch doll so badly. And we searched all over. We found one that had dark hair that looked like her, and she was so excited to get it. And she enjoyed the box as much
more
as
than the
doll. Yeah, a little bit.
That's crazy. How about this one, Wendy? You're going to have the same reaction that I had. This is up for the Toy Hall of Fame this year, 2016. The game Clue.
Why hasn't that been in there
that
already?
It should have its own wing.
Absolutely.
This is an embarrassment to you and me and Colonel Mustard.
You know, baseball, the Hall of Fame, and other sports, they've got to be out of the game for a while.
But Clue has been around forever. Clue's not a new concept.
No.
That's embarrassing.
Do you remember the board game Masterpiece?
Oh, I loved Masterpiece.
They would have works of art, and it was really cool because you would get all the information of the artwork on the back. So you had the lady with the big butt.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
It's from Sunday in the Park with George.
And then you'd have a lot of Picasso prints, and you could read about it, and you would buy and sell and trade artwork. It was really fun.
To this day, when I see a painting that was one of the featured paintings from Masterpiece, that's the first thing that clicks in my head is, that Matisse is from Masterpiece. That's where I've seen that picture before.
That's an educational game.
I don't know why they don't still make Masterpiece.
I know, that was really good.
It's a great game. All right, we've got a couple more of these. We're at 312-981-7200 if you'd like to chime in. These are the candidates for this year's Toy Hall of Fame. What belongs in, what doesn't? It's Bill and Wendy WGN. It's us. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder, and we're reading you the 12 finalists to see who's going to be inducted into the Strong's National Toy Hall of Fame in New York. The voting is taking place now. They will announce the winners very soon. We're all shocked to find out that Clue isn't already in the Toy Hall of Fame. That should have been in immediately.
And Brian wanted to chime in on the game of Clue. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. Well, the thing is, that board game was made into a full-length feature movie.
Did you see it? I'm just curious, because Tim Curry was in it, right?
Tim Curry, Michael McKean.
Martin Mull, Leslie M. Warren, Madeline Kahn.
Great cast.
Did you see it, Bill?
I did. I saw one of, as Brian just pointed out, it was unique in that it had, Brian, three different endings, right?
Correct.
So when you would see it in a theater, you wouldn't know which of the three endings you were seeing.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
No, actually they showed, if you watch the TV version, they showed all three at the end.
Oh, they did?
It ended like this, or it could end like this, but it actually ended like this, where at the very end, I don't want to give it away, but they were all involved.
I thought you didn't want to give it away, Brian.
I tell you, there was still one guy innocent out of the whole thing.
All right, stop talking.
Wendy wants to see Clue the movie. Don't ruin it.
I can't believe I didn't see it.
You like it. It's pretty cool. It takes place back in, I would say, during the 40s, late 40s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a fun movie.
Design, stuff like that. Yeah, it's a good movie.
Well, thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
When I was a kid, the Clue version that we had when I was a kid was the one that my dad had. So it came out around 1959 or 1960. So it was just kind of artist renderings of each of the characters, of the major, the people who may have killed the guy.
The perps?
The perps, if you will. Then the next version we got when I was a little older had actual photographs. And the woman who was Miss Scarlet was stunning.
Yeah, she was hot.
So when we'd play, I would just focus on that. I would just stare at that card instead of focusing on the game. I never won a single game of Clue. I'm 0-168 at Clue. I'm the Chicago Bears of Clue.
Was that your Kevin Quick groaning? Was that your first crush, Miss Scarlet?
No. You know who my first crush was.
Farrah Fawcett?
Claudine Lunge.
Oh, that's right.
If Claudine Lunge, this is just my fantasy, but if Claudine Lunge ever played Miss Scarlet in a version of Clue, you wouldn't even want
to
see me.
You would have to call me Miss.
Don't do it. Don't
Rouge
do the French. Don't do the French
because
accent.
Because Rouge
don't
is
do it.
Red.
Don't do
in
it.
Français.
Where does Penelope Pitstop fit?
She's
in
way
all
up
this
there.
Yeah.
And Daphne from Scooby Doo is also up there. Dungeons and Dragons, Wendy. Should that be in the Toy Hall of Fame? Dungeons and Dragons.
I got to be honest with you. I'm surprised it isn't already.
You would think, wouldn't you? How about this one? Fisher-Price Little People. Did you have those?
Yeah,
I
love
those. There's a company now, and I'm blanking on the name, but they make movie figures, like characters from movies, in the style of those Fisher-Price Little People. They're really cool.
Not the Funko Pop. That's what Kevin was
suggesting.
That's
separate.
That's
no,
different.
These are the same size.
Yeah.
I just ordered a set of Star Trek, so it's the characters from Star Trek, but they look like they're Fisher-Price Little People.
Is that your gift to yourself for the 50th anniversary?
It's one of them.
Oh, boy.
It's one of them.
Also, someone has texted in, and I am familiar with this, when Steve mentioned all these teddy bears, which we have since found out weren't teddy bears, but they were Cabbage Patch dolls.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the Steiff stuffed animals?
Yeah.
They were from Germany.
Yeah.
They were beautiful.
They were, weren't they? Great detail.
My brother had a Steiff jointed teddy bear. They're from the 1960s. His name was Zaddy. They came with a name.
Yeah.
Like a little name tag, and they all had weird names.
Yeah. Well,
but they were beautiful.
German-based names, I think.
What does Zaddy mean? Z-O-T-T-I.
Ruler of Teddy Bear Land. Nerf. Shouldn't Nerf be in the Toy Hall of Fame?
Oh, absolutely.
I would go to, if there was a Nerf basketball league, I'd buy season tickets.
Didn't every kid have the Nerf basketball net in their room on the back of their door?
Yeah.
And it would always start flopping over because it was just made out of cardboard, the backboard.
Given. Yep. What about pinball? Shouldn't that be in the Toy Hall of Fame?
That should have already
pinball
been
should
in
be.
There.
Rock'em Sock'em Robots. How is that not in there?
How does it sound?
All right, if you're the red guy and you punch the blue guy in the neck, or if you're the blue guy and you punch the red guy in the neck, you will hear this.
That was always such a fun game. They had it at our dentist's office when I was a little girl.
Why did they have it there?
Before they had a video game sitting there in the lobby, there were just little games that you could play.
Yeah.
And we didn't have our own version because there were two girls and a boy in our family, and I guess my brother didn't win out on
girls
that one.
Girls could play Rock'em Sock'em
I know,
robots.
But no one bought us that.
That's not fair.
So we'd have to wait till we went our six-month checkup, and it would be so loud in there.
You know, they still make it now, but it's about half the size. It's nowhere near as good because it was a big toy.
It was. The ring was
huge, right? And you'd always lose the ropes. Like anybody who ever bought Rock'em Sock'em Robots, the ropes were there for the first 6 hours, and then you never found them again. I don't know where they are. But now it's less than half the size. It's really small. Nowhere near as cool as it used to be. What about this? A swing.
Yeah. That
should be in the Toy Hall of Fame.
Tire swing should be in there, too.
Yep. Transformers?
Too soon.
I mean, I think so, too. I wouldn't put Transformers in there.
Mm-mm.
And then one more, Uno.
That is one of the best, most fun games.
Yeah. Yeah. So if I've tallied this properly, our votes went to Coloring Books, Clue, Fisher-Price Little People, Nerf, Pinball, Rock'em Sock'em Robots, The Swing, and Uno.
Yeah.
All right. I think we're allowed two. So
God.
I think we'd somehow have to narrow that down.
I don't know that I could. Well,
impossible.
Clue should be in there.
Clue should have been in there from the first day they opened it.
And Nerf.
The Toy Hall of Fame. I agree. Yeah. That's insane. All right. A quick break. Steve with the news. And then in a little while, we're going to talk to one of the funniest comics in a long, long time, Hannibal Buress. And not only is he a great comic, but Wendy, as you pointed out earlier, he's become something of a newsmaker this past year.
Yep.
He's the one that kind of blew the lid off the Bill Cosby scandal. We'll talk to him about that and a whole bunch of other things in just a little bit. Stay where you are. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. Dane Neal stops by, oh, about once every other week, and we talk about food and other related things. Hi, Dane. How are you?
Food and entertainment, personal enrichment.
All those things.
Anything that you, well, a lot of things, right,
yeah.
That people like.
Rugby, sometimes rugby.
I don't know, but I loved the conversation about the Toy Hall of Fame, and I wondered as I was coming in if there are the kind of politics that you see with the Oscars. Where,
you know there is.
Where if it's too big of a, if it's a blockbuster toy, then it, you know, maybe not. Or if it's a toy that kind of pushes boundaries, like let's say Raggedy Ann for,
yes.
for the Raggedy community gave them a doll to embrace.
Why was that popular? Popular, and I didn't have Andy, but I had Raggedy Ann.
It's like there was a like Dirty Bob. It's just like a torn up, it's a horrible toy.
There was a 50-year period where every girl in the country had a Raggedy Ann doll.
I was Raggedy Ann for Halloween one year.
Were you?
My mom dyed a mop red.
Oh.
And I put it on my. I was the best.
Oh.
I gotta look for pictures.
Whoa. Dane, let's talk food and other related things.
Well, we'll talk about some of the food that's coming up because people do have to eat to sustain themselves. And I hate
so
to think
true.
People hanging on every word saying, I'm not going to eat till Dane mentions what might be fun. So we'll get to that a little bit later on in the segment. But this is Soul Love Fest. And this is an event. I've got
some
really good friends that have been working to put this on. It's happening out in Oswego this weekend. And it is kind of a 360 personal enrichment thing. There's going to be some yoga front and center, and some of the top yoga people, yogis,
mm-hmm.
not of the bear variety.
Hey, boo boo,
not your average bear, right? No, these are this is yoga, and it is one of those things that's great. Obviously, physically, you can see I haven't done yoga in many years, but I'm familiar with
that.
It, and it has helped so many people not only stay fit but get fit, and then kind of mentally it like clears you out as well, and then personal enrichment as far as like how to be your best, how to tackle issues, how to overcome adversity and challenges. And in studio, we've got two people that are going to be front and center. Adam Paul Hemus, he is a yogi, so he's here in Chicago to talk about the yogi stuff going on, as well as MC Yogi, who is going to be there, a very famous in the community, a very famous
in the
yogi
community. MC Yogi is one of the tops.
Yep. And then
rapper or a yogi or both?
Both. Right. He's not defined by one label.
It's time to merge those two together, isn't it? This is 2016.
A downward dog, I say to do.
That's right.
Well, instead
that's
of put your hands in that's the air good. Like you just don't care, it's like put your hands down and do the warrior one or whatever.
Right.
And then Lola Wright, she is a reverend and the spiritual director at the Bodie Spiritual Center. She's going to be there doing a presentation as well for Soul Love Fest.
Hi, guys. Thanks for being here.
Yeah,
really appreciate
thanks for
it.
Having us.
How does one become a yogi? What did you have to do to achieve that?
Make lots of mistakes in life. Yeah, and try to correct them. Complete accident. Just started practicing, doing the yoga postures, going to yoga studios. And the next thing I know, I'm teaching yoga. It was the proverbial avalanche. Started with a little bitty snowflake, rolled down. Next thing I know,
yeah.
I am the avalanche.
I have a yoga question. I have done some yoga classes in the Park District and stuff. I am terrible, but I love it. Do you get any benefit from just
Absolutely.
Trying even when you can't master the
Absolutely.
Poses?
Were you breathing?
Yes.
Well, then you were getting benefits.
It would have been trouble if I wasn't
but
breathing.
But you would have been, to be fair, you would have been breathing regardless,
no, people
right?
people hold their
Probably.
Breath. All yeah. the time, people hold their breath. That's what you don't want to do. Step one, breathe. Step two, breathe. Step three, breathe some more.
Yeah.
I love it. It's flexibility, I think, is a big problem with people today. Tight hamstrings, IT bands, all those things really mess you up.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Flexibility of mindset.
Oh, yeah.
You
I
have
feel
to
like
somehow tie
this.
Them in, don't you? You have to find a way for all that to happen at the same time. Are because of what you guys do, are you relaxed 24 hours a day? Are you always relaxed or do you still get tense over things?
I'm the mother of four children ranging from ages 18 to 4.
Oh.
So I am not always relaxed,
oh.
but I do breathe. It helps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Different types of tension. You have the physical tension. You have the mental tension.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I'm plagued by them. You know, that's why I do a lot of yoga.
Who's
Once
this
again.
Guy, Thomas Day, they always mention at the end of any yoga session? Everybody says Thomas Day to each other. Who is that guy, Thomas Day?
Namaste.
Is that who he is? All right.
No. They all looked at each other, and I'm like,
you're panicking
you
me. I'm like, Thomas
about?
Day. Who is Thomas Day?
In Bill's position, you look at him as, and you're thinking to yourself, well, he must know something I don't.
Right.
Because, you know,
know
he knows
was.
A lot of things that,
all right.
that we don't. One of the things that people don't necessarily think about when it's yoga, that it is really athletic. You know, when I have done it, and you can do it, it's one of those things that you can do from the time you're a kid all the way till you get to be older, if you're injured, if you can't move a lot. And it's one of those greater than the sum of the parts kind of things. It doesn't seem like you're doing all that much.
Right.
But by the time you're done, you are somewhat exhausted if you're doing it right. You're certainly ventilated, right? Because you've been breathing. And it is the kind of, and you do have some kind of a calm, because there is that whole mental strategy built into it, and there's a calmness built around it. Whenever I've done yoga, and thousands of people will be doing it this weekend at Soul Love Fest, I always like feel better. I'm like, why aren't I doing more of this? I always lose like a bunch of weight, even though really it looks like you're not really moving at all.
Right.
But in the end, you know, it's really good for you.
What's causing the weight? I've heard so many people say that the weight just kind of comes off easier. What's going on that makes that happen?
I mean, I think some of it is the physicality of it, but I actually think more importantly is the mind over matter of it. And yeah. The truth of the matter is I've lost weight at points in my life where I didn't actually change anything in my physical existence, but my mindset shifted about who I am and how I perceive myself. And all of a sudden, you know, form follows mind. Mind, thought, call it what you want, always precedes the physical reality of nature. So change your mind, change your thinking, change your life.
And if your stress release, cortisol is a thing we produce when we're stressed. And that puts fat on you, if you're not producing that and you have a chill mind, it does make sense.
Breathing reduces stress, focusing on the breath and becoming more aware of just everything.
And that really is the spirit of Soul Love Fest. It's really the idea of looking at the whole person and moving from, you know, if you look in all areas of society today, look at neurology. I mean, they're studying the survival part of the brain in such deep ways because we have created neural pathways under survival tendencies, and our immediate response to life is to go into flight, freeze, or fight. And the existence of something like Soul Love Fest is to really move people out of those survival tendencies into higher states of thinking, higher states of functioning, higher states of moving. And I can think of no better time than an election cycle liberate yourself from some of the scarcity survival thinking into these higher, you know, ways of thinking about life and functioning and problems and solving. Nothing gets solved at survival levels. Right. Except your basic existence.
Take it from fight or flight to lay low and glow. Lay low and glow.
That was one of MC Yogi's best songs. Well, how do you, and that's the thing, when you have, it's all about the mindset. How do you maintain calm while, you know, fans of him are so excited that he is there? So talk a little bit about, you know, one of the big and main celebrity acts that's going to be there providing a lot of the music, MC Yogi. It seems like an odd combination, right?
It's a great combination.
Or a great combination.
Why did it take so long? So it's holy hip hop and electronic dance music all fused together. It's like the bhakti get down. So people are able to come listen to an uplifting message. You know, so the message is one that's going to inspire you to go deeper into your practice. It's one that's going to be able to go with you throughout the whole day and help center you. So you're not getting swayed left and right with all these other things. Some of the songs on the radio, man, if you listen to the word, it's like, wow, what am I listening to? But with MC Yoga, it's very uplifting. It's very centering. It's a message of yoga, which is union, bringing us together instead of pulling us apart.
Forgive me for not knowing this, but I've not heard it prior. Is it instrumental? Are there lyrics? What's going on with
There's some beats. It's electronic. Yeah. You'll hear some instruments you don't normally hear, like a harmonium or a sitar thrown in. But at its core, it's probably a rhythmic style of music, electronic music, with some hip-hop beats. It's very modern, very, very modern.
A quick question from Patty, who has called in. Patty, I have one knee replaced, and I'm going to have another one in December. Do you have a knee replacement?
I'm having one November 16th.
Congrats. You will love it. Recovery's tough. Can Patty do yoga with knee replacements?
Yes. Patty, can you breathe?
Yes, I can breathe.
Okay.
You know what?
Well, guess what? You are now an official yogi.
Wendy, I love you. I love your show. But yeah, I'm a little nervous about the surgery. I keep rescheduling my own surgery, which makes nobody happy. But
I'm
in school.
Listen to the doctors and definitely do the rehab. And yoga wouldn't be bad. It's just you may not be able to bend your knee as much as someone else. Or what about, I've had trouble where you can't kneel on it after a knee replacement.
Props. Any good teacher, any good studio is going to have props, and they're going to be able to adjust. You just need to let the teacher know beforehand what you're dealing with, and they're going to help mold the practice to fit your body. I mean, no two practices are the same. It's going to be a malleable practice that's going to be tailored specifically for you. For you, all you got to do is breathe and listen to the teacher, and you're going to go amazing places. That's and it. Some MC Yogi. Put some MC Yogi on while you do it.
Thank you, Patty. Good luck.
There's a similar question by way of text. It's, I'm 68 years old. I would love to begin yoga. Is this possible? Adam, I think I can answer for you. Can you breathe?
Yeah. Step one.
You're a yogi.
So I am now
yogi
a yogi.
Bill.
I am officially a yogi.
And you think about it. Some of these, the people that either teach or do yoga on a regular basis are really fine-tuned athletes. But we mentioned the versatility and kind of the range of people who can get into it and enjoy it. And my brother-in-law, Oliver, found out a year and a half ago that he had kidney failure. He was like 37 years old. And he was, you know, almost dead. Like he almost died. It was came out of the blue that this happened. He had from the diabetes and all that kind of stuff. And so he had to find a way to get in shape where he would be even eligible for a transplant. It isn't one of those things that just whip you in. They got to make sure that this is going to work.
You can be denied if you're not.
Yes,
your body's not ready to take it.
And so he went in and did yoga. It was the only thing he could do. He could barely walk. He was overweight. He was just completely unhealthy. And inside of, I think, about 8 months, he ended up losing 80 pounds and he got in the best physical condition he could. And it was because of yoga.
Yeah.
You know, and started very small. He could barely do anything. And then he worked up to the point where he was, you know, one of those leaders in the class. But so no matter what your condition is, you can start.
All you need to do is breathe. Dane Neal is here. Adam and Lola are here talking about Soul Love Fest. We're here. If you have any questions or comments, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I turned my microphone off and everybody else is on.
How about that?
The listeners just applauded. Thank you.
No.
Dane Neal is here and we're talking yoga and its benefits. And there's a big event coming up in Oswego this weekend, you mentioned?
Soul Love Fest, and it's soullovefest.com where you can see there's going to be 80 different presentations. It's all ages, so everybody's welcome. You can bring the kids. Everything from feng shui to yoga to energy medicine to personal enrichment. So all sorts of things that you can get it. 8:30 a.m. till 7 p.m. Saturday and 8 till 2 on Sunday. And we've got tickets for that as well. We've got two village passes. So what it is you get two people can go both Saturday and Sunday and enjoy everything that's offered. And it's at Aramore. So for those people in the area that know, it's a polo farm. It's out in Oswego. So I guess the grounds are just beautiful.
Oh,
and
nice.
It's an amazing
Good.
Setting for that. Yep.
So we'll give those away before you guys leave.
Yeah.
Right. I don't remember as a kid any professional athletes, maybe I'm wrong, but I can't remember any professional athletes coming out and saying that they were practitioners of yoga. But now it seems like every day, Jake Arrieta is a great example, pitcher for the Cubs, always talking about the benefits of it. What changed that made athletes go, we got to not only do it, but talk about it and let everyone in on it?
Looking for any competitive edge, at all. I was actually a boxer before I became a yogi, and that's how I got into yoga. I wanted a competitive
it
edge.
It hurt less.
It hurt a lot less, and I knew none of the other boxers would dare step foot into a yoga studio at all. So I was like, okay, this is going to give me a competitive edge.
It's been a minute since the Bears have had a winning formula, but in the 85, in the Super Bowl year, I remember tons of talk about ballet. Do you remember like when all the athletes, especially football players, were really into ballet? Similar quality, flexibility, agility. You know, I think it's sort of, I don't know why ballet was more accessible than yoga back then, but... Interesting.
You got to be careful
about it.
It'll take the fire right out of you, though. I mean, because it'll put the fire out, that drive, that competitive quality. The yoga will kind of help extinguish that in a good way, not a bad way. But some of that drive and that, like, I got to get to the top, got to get to the top. Well, yoga chills you out. It takes you back to that lay low and glow space.
So what do you do to kind of compensate and realize I'm in this to win? If yoga is calming you down and soothing you, what do you do to balance that?
You don't do quite as much as I did.
Yeah.
But also, doesn't it clear your mind to focus on what you need to achieve?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm really looking forward to a segment I'm leading Saturday afternoon. It's called Your Soul's Calling. And the idea is that really it gives you space to access the true idea of who you're here to be.
Yeah.
I mean, what the great gift is that we are each here as individualized manifestations of perfection.
Yep.
Like nobody can do life the way you can do life. And if we can get enough space through a practice like yoga, through meditation, we can get access to that idea that only can express perfectly as Wendy. Nobody can do Wendy the way Wendy can do Wendy.
Wendy's still working on Wendy.
That's an ever going thing, right?
Adam, I picture you boxing instead of punching your opponent, you just hugging them, and you can't win a match that way. You know that.
No, you can't.
You have to punch them.
Not at all.
All right.
But that requires that you have to win anything.
Yeah, that's true.
I want to jump in with a question because I think it's related. There's a big craze in mindfulness now. Mm-hmm. You see books all over the place. They're calling it mindfulness, but technically, isn't it a type of meditation?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's so interesting to watch how, you know, every major corporation is now bringing mindfulness into the office. And I'm like, you know what? If changing the word makes it acceptable, thank goodness.
But it's meditation.
Absolutely. And all meditation is bringing your awareness to your breath, such that you create a little bit of space, which is good for all of us. I mean, you can stand in line at Starbucks and take a conscious breath, and you're in a practice of meditation. You can wash your dishes and be present to that now moment, and you're in a practice of meditation. You don't have to be in the lotus position.
You mentioned, Lola, you've had four children. Did this make that process easier when you were having the kids? Was it easier to have kids?
I will tell you.
They say, Mom, be mindful.
Yeah, I will tell you that, you know, my older kids are 18 and 16. My younger kids are 7 and 4.
Yeah.
And both having kids and raising kids with this awareness has been vastly, it's been very distinct. I was a young mom. I was 18 when I got pregnant with my now 18-year-old who I just sent to college. Ugh. And it's a totally different world to, you know, have a 7-year-old child say to me, Mom, I just need to take a breath. Mm. I just need to sit down because I'm feeling myself get very angry. And it's like, hey.
That's awesome.
Great awareness. Mm-hmm.
Well, you think in this day and age with, you know, everybody's kind of lives are on 24/7, the news cycle, there isn't that normal kind of decompression time that we all kind of enjoyed maybe as kids. You know, our phones are, we're getting texts all the time and everything's happening. So you really need this kind of thing that where maybe you were able to find those places in your life before on your own here to kind of be mindful, right? And do it in a purposeful way, I think is helpful.
We're also at like a totally, we're at the forefront of humanity, really. Like there is, it is a completely new idea that you don't have to function, that some of us are in a position where we no longer have to do things because we have to. Mm-hmm. We can do things because we choose to. That has like our parents did not have that experience.
Sure.
Our previous generations really had to make choices from basic survival tendencies. And there's something new emerging in humanity where it's like, wow, my husband and I both have jobs that we absolutely love. That is a new paradigm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So, lay low and glow. That's what you got to do. Is that it, Adam?
That's correct.
Lay low and glow.
So 80 different presentations, whether it's classes or seminars, teaching moments, like I said, energy, medicine, feng shui, all of those things are going on at soullovefest.com. Tickets start at $25 to $30, but we've got two tickets. So one person can win. It'll be two village passes.
A pair of tickets.
They'll be able to go Saturday and Sunday and do all of those things. We know that that Lola's over there at the Bodhi Spiritual Center, but Adam, do you want to give a shout out to whatever you're doing, you know, or as far as your social media? Or
I'll be teaching Jivamukti Yoga at Soul Love Fest, 3:30, September 17th. I hope to see a lot of people there. Immediately afterwards, you can join me at the stage to see MC Yogi. I think he goes on at 6, so you have 1 hour after my class to prepare and rehydrate. Otherwise, you can find me at yoga studios throughout Chicago, Tejas Yoga, Yoga View, and Moksha. Also find me at your local Equinox and Chicago Athletic Clubs.
And on his bike for the next like half an hour after the
riding
segment.
Home. Yeah.
Very quickly.
Dane, thank you. Adam, thank you. Lola, thank you. Thomas Day, as we say in the yoga business.
That's
Thomas
right. Day. Thomas Day to all.
You should say Susan Day.
Susan Day.
Susan
the Partridge
Day.
Family. Yep, Lori Partridge to everybody.
Thanks, Dane.
Thanks, guys. More after this. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. It's always a pleasure to talk to important people on our show, but it makes a mom look cool when she says to her teenage sons, you know who's going to be on the show? Hannibal Buress. They wanted to skip school to talk to you,
is
Hannibal.
Is that right? Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah?
They love you from the Eric Andre show.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hannibal Buress, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be at the Chicago Theater tonight, the Hannibal Montanable Experience.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
I'm excited. It's going to be fun. It's good to be home.
You spent a lot of time here, Hannibal, and as you know, the Chicago Theater, that's the big leagues. You're playing in a major league stadium. Does that excite you the way it should?
Yeah, man. This is my second time headlining it. I've performed there several other times as an opening act for people. So it's, you know, when I was living here and, you know, walking downtown and see that marquee with Drew about having my name on it, so to have it happen is really dope. So I don't take it lightly, and I'm excited for the show.
Aren't you pinching yourself when you saw your name up there? And then tonight you're going to take a little picture of it? You know, you got to do the selfie with your name and you, right, showing with the marquee.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to. People have been sending me. I've been getting texts from people with the, you know, of the marquee, and I've been getting those pictures. And it's wild, but, you know, you still got to do the show. So I'm focused on putting on a good show because, you don't want to have your name on the marquee and they just know who did horribly that night.
Hannibal, on Monday, I know this is a little inside, but it'll pay off at the end. There's a man named Michael Alexander, who back when I did stand-up, I used to work with Michael, and he's decided to do a documentary about stand-up comedy in Chicago. And we got to talking about you. You became the topic, and we both agreed that you were one of those guys who just kind of, I don't want to say came out of nowhere, but it was a very quick ascent from everybody saying, I don't know who Hannibal Buress is, to everybody in and around stand-up, not only knowing you, but really liking you and appreciating your work. Did you get that feeling? Could you be, even though it's you we're talking about, do you know what I mean by that? You must have felt that.
I've been doing it 14 years, man. So it's been just a steady kind of ascent. If you ask me, I built a following here in Chicago and eventually moved to New York and had things, small steps happen from being on Jimmy Fallon's show to SNL to 30 Rock to working more. And so it was a slow build and a lot of work to the point where it looks like that to somebody now. Who is that? But I'm appreciative of my opportunities, but I definitely don't think it's out of nowhere. I'm 33. I've been doing this since I was 19 years old, you know.
Well, and you mentioned 30 Rock, and Bill, you mentioned that you did stand up as well. This whole Bill Cosby thing that came up has surfaced behind the scenes with a lot of stand up comics. Bill, you said you had heard some rumblings before.
Forever.
See, now, when I heard it, not being in the stand up world, it was something that I just thought your act was so funny because it just couldn't be true. But it's because of your act that the things are going down now for Bill Cosby.
Oh, is that a question?
Well, no, I'm just talking to you. But it's like because of you, it's like, I don't know. No one would have believed it. And I feel like you were the catalyst to get this all on the road. So many people should be thanking you. Not Bill Cosby, of course.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
All right. Don't want to talk about that. That's totally cool.
But Hannibal, admit it. Like when this happened, because you did this on stage one night and they captured it and it was on YouTube. You didn't know it would reach these proportions, did you? Had no idea.
No, I didn't know I'd be talking about it 2 years later and again in the interview.
Well, that's all right. You know, it's something we wanted to ask you. If you don't want to talk about it, that's cool. Can we talk about what's going on with the Hannibal Montanibal experience tonight at the Chicago Theater?
Yeah, sure.
All right. What can we expect besides no Bill Cosby material?
Pyrotechnics video.
Seriously.
Special guests. No, I didn't set up the pyrotechnics early enough, but just know that any times there's a little bit of space in the show, that's where the pyrotechnics should have been.
And are you going to do some act out some scenes from the upcoming Baywatch or Spider-Man Homecoming movie?
No, I'm not, cuz without context that would go horribly. Hey, this is my scene. I'm going to be in two scenes. Here it is. Probably not. But it's going to be a fun time. I'm excited to play the venue again, and it's always fun to play in the city.
What I love about your website, which you go to HannibalBuress.com, you give a little bit of your bio, and then it's like, you can find out more information, go Google it yourself. Pretty honest.
Yeah. That's why I kind of, sometimes people say, describe your comedy to somebody that hasn't seen it. No, I don't want to describe my comedy. Just go on YouTube, and you can look up some of my comedy. If you like it, then see it live. If not, that is totally fine also. I have lots of stuff that I don't like. But yeah, it's the internet is a beautiful tool. You can Google how much people's houses cost.
You can find out so much stuff on that internet. It's scary.
Yeah, I love looking up how much people's houses cost.
I need a bigger firewall.
Yeah.
Next time you'll know that. Hannibal, the thing I always think whenever I see you perform, and I get to see you on cable and I get to hear you a lot on satellite radio, I always think the same thing about you. No one could steal from you. Your material is so just kind of personal to yourself that I can't imagine anybody seeing a bit that you do and going, I'll lift that from Hannibal. It's impossible.
That's a cool compliment. I've heard that from people where they've said, they've talked about trying to do one of my bits to their friends.
Yeah.
Trying to tell one of my jokes and then it going poorly. So I just try to talk about my perspective and just real stories and things that have happened to me. And that's, you know, once you, if you're talking about your real experiences and genuine thoughts, then you just try to keep it honest and have fun and hope that it connects, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, and this is, again, is another compliment. Believe me, whenever I see you or hear you, I always think to myself, I know that guy a little bit now. Like, there's so many stand-ups that you'll watch work, and as funny as they are, when they're done, you just go, I don't know anything more about him or her that I knew when they started. But every time I see you perform, I say to myself, I know more about that guy now, and that's a positive.
Thanks, man.
Sure.
Yeah. I tried to buy a baby recently.
You did? How'd that go?
A baby that was in the audience at one of my shows.
How much was it going for?
No. Sorry. I worded that wrong. There was a pregnant woman in the audience at one of my shows.
Yeah.
And she was about a week away. And I put in an offer on her baby just to test the market and start the conversation. And I offered her $75,000 for her baby.
That's a lot of money.
I feel like that's a strong offer. It shows that you're serious. And so I offered her $75,000. I feel like sight unseen, that's a great offer for unseen.
Yes,
white
it is.
Baby. I don't know what she's been eating the past 9 months. She could have been eating Skittles the entire time. I don't know. I feel like that's a strong offer. She shook her head. She was passionate. She shook her head.
Oh.
Her husband was next to her. He was like, he was willing to have the conversation. And, you know, if she took the offer, I would have paid it.
Yeah, sure, you have to. Word,
I would have bought that white baby for $75,000, and then I would have flipped it for $200.
Oh, that's a nice profit right there.
You make me want to get pregnant again, Hannibal. Although I'm a little old for that.
Ah,
I don't
come
know.
On. You could have done like a reverse Webster with the kid. That would have been fantastic.
Hey, maybe.
Your third stand-up special streaming on Netflix right now, is that true?
Yeah, Comedy Camisado. It's on Netflix. Also got a different one, a documentary / stand-up special called Hannibal Takes Edinburgh. That's up there where I went to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in Scotland, and it's a month-long festival, and it just follow me for that full month, just all the different shows that I was doing and the offstage nonsense. So, and we got my other two up there too, Live from Chicago and Animal Furnace. I got 4 hours up there on Netflix, so you can watch those in between checking out old cocaine documentaries.
Are you sporting a kilt in the Scotland one?
Nah, I didn't.
Not your thing.
The culture that much. I don't get that deep into foreign cultures. I just try to get in on the surface level. Well, I mean, I imagine wearing a kilt has to be great for as far as ventilation.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, movement, hiding stuff. it seemed like a decent fashion choice.
Hey, welcome home.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. We want to meet you sometime, Hannibal. So if you're in the area, please come up. We'd love to have you in studio next time.
Definitely. Thank you all for having me.
Go see Hannibal Buress at the Chicago Theater tonight. Go to chicagotheater.com. It should be a great show. Rumor has it, Hannibal, you're going to say some very damning things about Will Rogers tonight. So I'm anxious to hear what those are.
I got some crazy Clint Eastwood jokes.
Good.
Thank you so much. A pleasure to talk to you.
Take care, Hannibal.
Later, y'all.
All right, that's Hannibal Buress, Chicago Theater. Go to thechicagotheater.com for more information. We'll be back in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, go see Hannibal Buress. I don't know if it's a sold-out show tonight at the Chicago Theater.
There are still some tickets available.
Go to thechicagotheater.com. You can also go to hannibalburress.com. You know me, Bill. I feel guilty about everything that I do.
Yeah.
I do not feel guilty about asking Hannibal Buress about the Bill Cosby stuff.
No, you shouldn't. For people who don't know the history, you know Bill Cosby's story at this point. You know what went on with Bill Cosby for years. There were always rumblings. Like you said, I did stand up for 10 years, and over the years, I worked with a bunch of guys that go, how about this thing with Bill Cosby? Is this crazy? But I don't think the general public kind of knew because everybody that's America's favorite dad on TV. He's not going to be doing below the board stuff with women. That's impossible. So one night, Hannibal Buress, who had made jokes about Bill Cosby in the past, did a routine where he kind of outed Bill Cosby's situation. That goes to YouTube. Everybody sees it. And
you don't believe it.
Right.
It was just like, oh, God, it's so obscure that it's funny.
Right.
And then look what happens.
Right.
And, I did not really hear of Hannibal Buress much before the break of this Bill Cosby case.
Well, all right. We've gotten a bunch of texts from people saying, well, why didn't he talk? Well, Hannibal Buress should have talked about it. Wendy asked him the question. Why didn't he discuss it? I think if you're him, you say to yourself, do I want to be famous because I'm the guy who outed Bill Cosby, or do I want to be famous because I'm as funny as I am? And believe me when I tell you, he is one of the best stand-ups you'll ever see. He is an incredible stand-up comic. He's fantastic. So if you're him, I'm sure you're torn after 2 years of this.
And sick of talking about it, I'm sure.
Yeah, but that doesn't devalidate your question. It's a question that, you know, if you know his connection to it, it would be irresponsible to not bring it up. He obviously wasn't comfortable talking about it.
And that's fine. But like I said, I feel guilty about everything. I do not feel guilty about asking him that question. And I almost wished he would have said something like you said, really, you want to talk about this or do you want to talk about my stand-up?
Yeah.
That to me would have been a better answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know. There's texts coming in. If you like him, you like him. He's really funny on that Eric Andre show.
He's always funny.
I have not seen his stand-up other than that.
Oh, is he good? He's so good. But you did the right thing. But, a lot of times if we've got a guest on and there's something very specific that they don't want to be asked, somebody will say to us, hey, do us a favor. Don't bring this up. Don't mention that. And there was no caveat to that. So... yeah, I don't think you should. There's no.
I don't. I'm saying for the first time ever, I do not feel guilty.
Yeah.
I felt like that needed to be brought up.
Right, 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 right.
Because until that video was going viral, I didn't really know who Hannibal Buress was, and I didn't really think the Bill Cosby routine was true.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I understand you don't want to be the one to break him, but, you know, you're doing, he mentions doing parts of his life and truthful things in his act, which I love because, you know, back in the day, it was, you know, set up, punchline, that was it.
Right.
And now you really are finding out a lot about a person by their stand-up, and I love that.
Here's the strange thing. I've read online for the past 2 years now people who have praised him like crazy for this. And then other people who have said, hey, you're one of the reasons that one of our icons is no longer in the spotlight. I mean, he is in the spotlight, but for all the wrong reasons now. So I don't think you can blame him for exposing the reality of Bill Cosby's situation. I always think it's unfair when people take a shot at Hannibal Buress going, hey, if you know something about him, leave that to yourself. That's not something that needs to be out there. But it certainly changed what we all perceive about Bill Cosby.
And that's how it happened, right? I mean, YouTube video went viral.
Yeah.
And then were women starting to come forward going, I'm one of those women.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a slow trickle that...
don't say trickle.
You know the results. Were there 50 women at the end?
I know.
So, yeah. Strange moment. All right. We'll take a break. We'll talk to Steve Bertrand
next.
Another
strange moment coming up with Bertrand.
He doesn't want to talk about it. We'll find out what's on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Hey, it's Judy Pilak.
It's like old times.
We missed you, Judy.
I missed you guys too, but your producer's kind of mean to me, so I don't think I'll be
Wait,
back.
That's a, Kevin, our producer?
Kevin, yeah. What?
It's
he's
impossible.
Getting married and he's getting cocky?
He's getting
he
married.
Asked if it was, he asked me if it was my first day.
Oh, see, that's unprofessional.
She didn't know if we should do traffic or not. And
Whatever.
I said, well, duh.
I said, where should it be done?
Right, right.
In the traffic department.
And then he suggested that maybe he should do the news. I suggest you beat him severely.
Wow.
You got to understand.
I don't miss you, Judy.
Judy, Kevin is under a lot of pressure. The wedding is 9 days away. His magic number is nine, so
nine.
He's a little on edge.
Yeah.
He can clinch in 9 days.
Not
huh?
Right. He's already achieved a tie. We know for sure that he'll be it'll be a tie. But, yeah, in 9 days he's getting married, so he's a little nervous right now. So please don't. It's no reflection on
you. I'm kidding.
You know
I
that.
Love him.
All right, I hope so. I sure hope so.
And I love you guys, too, especially you, Wendy.
Oh.
Yeah.
How about that?
Well, bye-bye.
You know who else is here, Wendy, is our friend Dane Neal from Access Appetite, who was on the show earlier, part one of the show, but then came up with something for the listeners that I think is just selfless, Dane.
Well, guys, I mean, I had it then, but we were doing the, you know, kind of the yoga kind of, you know, personal enrichment.
Right,
and I didn't
sure.
want to disrupt the feng shui of the segment
yeah.
by kind of just like throwing in some extra thing. But
yeah.
But a big news story you want to break, something I saw all over Facebook and was thinking about doing it, and I'm too late.
You're too late. But unless you want to pose as winning listeners, because we've got two tickets.
Well, let's do the story first. Wouldn't
okay.
that make more
and
sense?
And it's really not like a news, you know, it's not like, you know, world conflict or, you know, or anything political or anything like that. But this was, when this was first described to me by the folks over at Eataly, I was like, you guys are crazy. This is just, it'll work. It'll be wonderful. But it's one of those things.
It'll work.
Yeah.
It'll
work.
Eataly.
But it's absolutely insane. So it is one of those events where you have a basic ticket price and then you get to go and enjoy, you know, kind of the accoutrements of what is Eataly. And for those people who've been there, I think it's 60,000 square feet of just so
goodness.
Many. Yeah. Goodness. Where they're making their own, their cheeses. They've got the bakeries there. They've got pizza.
It's
they've
authentic
got wine,
Italian
they've got a
cuisine.
Brewery.
Yeah.
There.
Prime rib sandwich.
At all
to
different
die
levels.
For.
Yeah. 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 But some of it higher end, some of it more common folk type stuff. But it's really
that would be in the common. That's aisle 10, common folk.
If you love Italian,
you'll see
cuisine,
typically you'll see quote unquote peasants.
Peasants will be right. out there, right? Yeah.
So Wendy just handed me this. It says once in a while an event comes along, which makes you wonder how could the organizers possibly make any money at this event? Well, they're not. They're going to just lose money. But what it is the tickets sold out in 36 hours. And I guess there's a couple thousand. It sounds like a lot of people. It's a big space.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But 36 hours. So it is going to be a great opportunity for people to check it out. Here's what you're going to get. So instead of an event that'll be a couple hours, this, they're going to close down on Friday, this Friday, the 16th at 2 p.m. They're going to open back up at 5 and from 5 p.m. till midnight,
mm-hmm.
people who have tickets they'll have the run of the place and they'll be able to have all they can eat and all they can drink. And there is a lot of things.
And how much were those tickets going for?
They were only $45 anyway.
Oh, wow.
That's too cheap.
It's too cheap. Well, it depends on what your goal is. If your goal is to let people come on in for an event that's you know, cost
yeah.
considerate, right? And then be able to really enjoy themselves and spend a lot of time and get to know the place, hopefully becoming fans.
Sure.
I'm trying to rationalize it.
Yeah.
Wendy, you're right. It doesn't make any sense. But
for $45?
Yes.
I mean, you could drop that easily. You get a couple glasses of wine.
How about five? If you want to hit all five wine bars,
you
have like
right?
one glass from each one of them,
right?
So it's at five wine bars,
$45. What does that translate to lira? I don't know. I don't have a conversion chart. Do you have?
They'll
one
have
right
one there. I think they give you,
they
a,
give you a conversion
upon
chart.
Arrival. You get a conversion right. chart. So five wine bars, house made draft beer from Half Acre and Revolution.
Oh, nice.
There's an arancini bar. Pizza.
Wait, there's an
balls.
Arancini bar.
I know.
What did you call Dane?
Arancini.
Rice balls.
It's
a pet name, Bill. Come on.
Did that not be on air?
Hey,
personal.
Hey, rice balls. Get
That's
over
not
here.
Nice. Dane, I apologize.
Give me a hug.
That.
That's what it is. All right. So get this. So the pizza alla palla, which is those, they're not normal. This is not, you know, Tombstone, Red
right.
Dinner. No
this
offense
is
to those
real
folks,
pizza.
Those fine
right.
veterans.
Authentico.
Yeah. Well, they're making it right on site. A kid's scavenger hunt. So kids are
free. You can
free.
Find kids?
Yes. And you can't eat them, though.
Oh.
This isn't that kind of place. Anyway, so the kids can come to is with a ticketed adult. Kids are free and allowed right. to enter. Cocktail bars, beer, sausage bar. Yes, right?
Sausage bar.
I know. Hand-sliced prosciutto, pasta, and Parmigiano Reggiano wheels, gelato, pastries, coffee, and Milli Vanilli. Mini
Nutella. That's worth the $45 in itself.
They don't make their own food, I heard.
They don't.
Somebody else makes the food, and they just pretend
they
to.
They pretend to make it. Mini Nutella crepes are also available.
Oh, wow.
I mean, 43 East Ohio is where it is. Not that you, I mean, just look anywhere. It's a whole block.
It's right.
Block.
It's gigantic. The gelato there is outstanding, by the way. I've had that a few times. I love it.
You can have as much as you want.
Oh, this
you
is
can
perfect.
Just sit down there and do that, right?
Well,
now.
We can't because this offer is gone. It sold out in 36 hours.
It sold out in 36 hours. So the ticket value is $90 for the two tickets that our one winner is going to get. And if they want to share it, that's fine. But the value is, like you guys intimated, it's way beyond $90.
Yeah.
And from 5 p.m., get there right at 5. You can even do this in segments. So get there at 5, eat till 7, lay down and rest, then
yep.
get up, and then eat from like 9 till midnight.
That's a tremendous thing. All right, and you're giving away a pair of tickets. Just
two
giving
tickets.
Them two tickets. One pair, two tickets.
Yep. Yeah, one for me, one for you. Contest done.
Oh, yep. That was quick.
Yep.
Let's do it. Pick a number, Dane, between 1 and 10 million.
I would say since they're at 43 East Ohio that we do 43, but why don't we just add that together and make it 7?
Caller 7. All right. Caller 7. Dial us up right now, 312-981-7200. You will win the incredible prize package to Eataly that Dane just described to you.
It's this Friday.
It's coming up soon.
So you have to be able to go. Don't call and win them, and then when we give it away,
right.
Yep. Oh, I can't make it.
Right. Winner yep. must be present.
Yep. And they've got, so let's say you don't win. Let's say you're us and we don't win. Until October 9th, they've got some great sales going on. You know, 250 products, 80% off and all
oh.
that. If you don't oh. win, right? Just to kind of make
great
yourself
great gadgets. Can I tell you I could spend 3 days there just looking at all the gadgets
yeah.
and stuff?
Yep. Well, all right. Do as instructed and call us right now. Caller 7.
Caller 7.
At 312-981-7200. We'll win this incredible prize package courtesy of Eataly.
Yes.
Thanks,
Dave. Ciao bella.
That's ciao bella. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet.
We will announce the winner in just a very short time. Stay here. More show coming your way. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Let's check in with Kevin, our producer, and find out if there is a winner for our Eataly giveaway. Kevin, did we have a winner?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
In other news...
Who is
that winner, Kevin?
He is getting cocky.
Her name was Jeannie, and I believe she was from Palatine, and she's going. She won a pair of tickets, and she's going to have a wonderful evening.
I think 5
she
will.
5 p.m., Eataly.
That's going to be great. A dispute between two neighbors in Drummond's, Tennessee, Wendy, has ended with one of them having his neighbor's home bulldozed.
Okay, that is not a funny prank.
It says here... You're supposed to love thy neighbor, not bulldoze thy neighbor's home. This was the result of an apparent dispute between two people in Drummond's, Tennessee. I already told you that, according to WIS-TV. The less than neighborly quarrel began this past Friday when Tipton County Sheriff's deputies received a call about a man who was firing multiple shots into the woods. You know how sometimes on a Friday night there's nothing to do, so you say to yourself, let me get the Smith and the Wesson and just shoot into the woods. That's what this man was doing. The man in question, 48-year-old John Higdon, told deputies that he saw multiple people running around in the woods near his house. The people were wearing ghillie suits.
Excuse me?
I don't know what that means.
A room zoom zoom.
There's some fellas out back, and they're running around, and they're wearing ghillie suits. A type of camouflage clothing designed to blend in with nature. I had no idea that was a ghillie suit until just now.
It looks like your Bigfoot.
That's when you're showing me a picture of what looks like. Yeah, it looks like Chewbacca or Bigfoot is running around.
Or
that's a ghillie suit.
If you saw Creepshow and the part of Creepshow where Stephen King touches a meteorite and things start growing all over him.
Oh, yeah. That's similar, isn't it?
God,
yeah.
I didn't know what a ghillie suit was.
So there were people out behind his house wearing these suits. Ghillie spelled the traditional way, G-H-I-L-L-I-E. Higdon then told deputies that he had reported a group of prowlers shining lights earlier in the week, and that he believed that they were employees of his neighbor. That would be 57-year-old Edgar McLennan. Deputies said that they found no evidence of anybody in the woods, and then they left the scene. But a short time later, deputies received another complaint about shots being fired. They then arrested Higdon for reckless endangerment. Then, around 2:15 a.m. on Saturday, that's just this past Saturday, a neighbor called emergency officials to report that a man, who was later identified as McClellan, that's the neighbor, was bulldozing Higdon's home.
in a ghillie suit?
It does not mention that, but...
Was Mickey Ghillie present?
Mickey Ghillie was not there. His camp has already said that he had nothing to do with this story at all. McClellan was charged with aggravated criminal trespassing and felony vandalism after officials found debris from Higdon's battered home in McClellan's backhoe. That's no way to refer to his wife. That's not nice.
Oh, Bill.
Higdon's house is a shambles now. Well, you know why?
Because it was bulldozed?
A bulldozer go through it. The walls are caved in. The furniture is exposed to the open air. There's water damage thanks to the pipes busted. They're estimating an upwards of $20 in damage to the home. It wasn't that nice. I've seen pictures of the house, Wendy. It was not that nice of a house. Higdon's brother, Sam, told Fox 13 Memphis that McClellan should pay for the destruction.
He should.
Which is normal. Yeah, if you bulldoze somebody's house, you're kind of, right? You're responsible.
Does insurance cover that?
You got to buy that special bulldozing rider, you know? They always recommend it, and you're like, well, no one's going to bulldoze my house. Well, wrong.
The guy wearing the ghillie suit was a bulldozer rider.
He was, wasn't he?
Yes.
What's he doing? Want more of a Tennessee accent? What's he doing pushing somebody's house down? He's never had no beef with this man, Sam Higdon said in an accent similar to the one I just showed you.
You sound better than Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh, you're kind. You're done. Both men.
You do that very well. Did you ever live in the South?
No, but I was his understudy for a long time. I was Billy the Cable Guy. Both men are free, but I got fired because I wore shoes. Both men are free on bond, awaiting their arraignments later on this week. Detectives from the Tipton County Sheriff's Office continue to investigate these incidents and expect that there will be additional charges, according to a department release. Don't these guys seem like they're not satisfied? If you bulldozed a house, there's a next chapter, don't you?
I believe it. I'm sorry, but I'm more intrigued with the ghillie suit.
I've never heard of one until just this moment.
Well, of course not, because snipers, hunters, and nature photographers are the ones that typically wear a ghillie suit to blend into their surroundings and conceal themselves from enemies or targets.
But when you think of camouflage, because it mentions here that it's like a camouflage suit. It says a ghillie suit, which is a type of camouflage clothing. These aren't really camouflage. This looks like a big furry beast.
Or a bush.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty good camouflage.
Doesn't, but it looks like you said, it looks Bigfoot-like.
And there's a
giant...
white one that makes it look like the Yeti.
Oh.
Was that the Abominable Snowman?
Yeah.
Are they kind of
They're interchangeable.
In
yeah.
A ghillie suit is called a Yowie suit if you're in the Australian Army.
Yeah.
And it's designed to resemble the background environment, such as foliage, snow, or sand. So you think camo, you think of my purse, which is just the olive green and black blotches.
Traditional camouflage.
But
yeah.
No, this it's a net or cloth garment covered in loose strips of burlap cloth or twine, sometimes made to look like leaves, twigs, and then augmented with scraps of foliage from the area. You should get one of those. Wear that to Kevin's wedding.
Well, Kevin is wearing a ghillie tuxedo to his wedding, and you have to order those like a year in advance. They only have a couple in stock, but he said that it's beautiful, so I can't wait to see it.
Again, snipers, hunters, and nature photographers wear these suits, the ghillie suit, also called the Yowie suit by the Australian Army. It gives the wearer's outline a three-dimensional breakup rather than a linear one.
Oh,
so,
maybe that's better.
You know, in cartoons where someone would... like they'd be in a bush and then the bush would stand up on legs and move. And then the bush would go back down. What did I just see? That's what it is. When manufactured correctly, the suit will move in the wind the same way as the surrounding foliage.
And you would get this if you were hunting out in a place where this would fit in? I can't imagine.
The forest?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Where else?
Some ghillie suits are made with light and breathable material that allows a person to wear a shirt underneath. Otherwise, you're...
I would wear a
naked.
Shirt underneath anyway, wouldn't you?
Yes.
If I rented one. I would want to know the full history of who wore it prior to me.
Good call.
But why were these guys, his neighbors were just out in back of his house wearing them, running around with lights, flashlights?
They were shooting in the, didn't you say at the beginning, they were just shooting in the forest?
Yeah. Yeah. But then he, it starts taking shots at them. You can't just shoot at people for running around behind your house, can you?
If you think it's the Yeti,
yeah,
or then it's Bigfoot,
allowable. All right, all right.
And again, where did this take place?
That would be in Tennessee, a town in Tennessee. Yep. All right, so we'll take a quick break. The news is next. Steve has the news, and then we have a whole lot more for you. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill and Wendy here on 720 WGN. Thank you so much, Steve. Okay, a wedding gift.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the most memorable wedding gift I got.
Did somebody give you something magical, something you'll never forget?
My cousin Susie gave me Waterford toasting glasses with Jim and Wendy and our date on it.
That's very nice.
Yeah, you brought a date to your own wedding?
Yes.
Wow.
Nice.
Jim wasn't upset about that?
No, he was cool with it.
He's new age.
We have a very open marriage.
She said our date, so.
Our wedding date.
Yes.
And then my sister bought me a Victrola that I wanted,
oh,
which
that's
is in
a
our
great
family
gift.
Room. Yeah, so that's I go to garage nice sales gift. And get the 78s. It's, you crank it up, and yeah. It's really cool. But trying to think about memorable gifts, Kevin is getting married in 9 days. Very exciting. Mm-hmm. And there was a wedding that happened between Kathy and Brandon Gunn of Michigan. And for some reason, they waited 9 years to open one of their gifts. Did they forget? We will find out because Kathy Gunn is on the line with us. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing well. This story has been all over the internet. We wanted to talk to you about it. Your great aunt gave you a gift, and why? What did she recommend about not opening it?
Well, the card on the front of the box said, "Do not open until your first disagreement." So her intention with the box was to try to help us, you know, solve whatever issue we were having at the moment.
If that was given to me, I would have opened it on our wedding night after the ceremony.
Yeah.
First gift to open, right? Wouldn't you have just gone, all right,
well,
the rest are
envelopes.
Well,
because we got in a fight after
yeah.
the wedding.
Oh.
Now, did you get in a fight any time between the time you got the gift and the 9 years later that you opened it?
Oh, yes, yes. Never meant to imply that there wasn't an argument or a disagreement or 100 of those in between times.
But still, you didn't.
We went through many.
But you didn't, even though you fought or disagreed on things, you didn't take her.
Aunt Allison's advice.
Yeah, you still didn't follow through. You stayed back. How come?
We didn't. We broke the rules. Well, it was one of those things where we felt like it had to be a really big fight that we didn't think we could get past.
Yeah.
Because once you open the box, you don't have it anymore. So then what do you do next time if the fight is worse than the previous one? It's like you wasted the box.
Right.
You wasted, you know, that item that you needed at the, you know, worst possible moment.
At some point, Kathy, I'm positive you and Brandon must have sat down and guessed what was in the box, right? What were some of your guesses? What did you think you might have gotten from
a
your aunt?
A gun.
Maybe.
Right. Boxing gloves.
Yes.
I thought maybe there was a bottle of wine in there. And then we figured there was a note in there, probably, you know, a long story with, you know, different disagreements that her and my Uncle Bill had gotten into and how they, you know, solved them or worked past them and, you know, some other way to help us think about the issue we're going through differently. You know, don't make a mountain out of a molehill and, you know, think back to, you know, why you got married in the first place and, mm-hmm. you know, the love you have for each other.
Okay, so 9 years goes by, and why do you all of a sudden decide to open the box? Was it a big doozy of a fight?
It actually wasn't a fight at all, which is the most ironic thing, I think, because not only did we not follow her instructions, you know, with the first fight, but then we opened it when we weren't even fighting at all.
Oh, wow.
So we were actually, it was about a month before a wedding that we were supposed to attend. And I still hadn't gotten a gift for the bride and groom. And so I was, you know, racking my brain trying to think of, you know, a memorable gift and thinking back to what we had that, you know, we still use and really loved.
How many times have you used that fondue pot, by the way? Just wondering, Kathy.
Right. Yeah, the fondue pot didn't make it so far. That only made it about 5 years.
Right.
But it was just like, well, we still have that box we haven't opened. And then it's like, well, that's been a great gift for us because it's really helped us, you know, reassess different situations that we've been in. And I thought that would be a great gift to give the bride and groom, except we don't know what's in it. So I said, why don't we open the box? And my husband kind of looked at me like I was crazy, because he's like, Kathy, we've waited 9 years and now you want to open it? We're not even fighting. I said, yeah, if we haven't used it in 9 years, I think we've got the tools that we need to keep going strong.
And you couldn't really re-gift it, because more than likely whatever was in the box was probably something incredibly personal, right?
So there was, a personal note, yeah, that, definitely can't be re-gifted, but there was a vase and glasses, crystal glasses, and the notes to both Brandon and I, telling us.
Separate
that,
notes.
Separate notes. Yeah. Brandon had a note to go buy flowers and a bottle of wine, and then I had a note to, use my bath bubbles that were within the box, and then to buy some shrimp or pizza or something that we both enjoy, so that we could reconnect.
So how sweet is that? Don't open till your first disagreement, and then so you're fighting with each other, and then you open the box, and it's like basically just saying, go get a bottle of wine, take a bubble bath, calm down, and forgive each other.
Right. It's like, just let's take a step back, look at the situation, and think, is this really, the worst thing to happen to us? And, let's get back to what matters most. And that's obviously, the love between us two. But, for us, it didn't end up being what was in the box. It was the box itself that was the gift to our relationship.
Is Aunt Allison still with us?
She is still with
us,
and she is loving how much attention the story has gotten, because like when I wrote this story, I certainly didn't anticipate this kind of response. And when she gave us the gift, she certainly didn't expect us to keep it for 9 years. So this has really been a lot of fun for her to watch it all unfold.
What a great gift. And you said you had a wedding to attend coming up, and that's what gave you the idea. Let's just open this box because I need an idea. I really am trying to come up. Our producer Kevin's getting married next Friday, trying to come up with a meaningful gift. And he basically flat out just said, what, Kevin, what do you want?
Money. But now this is making me reconsider.
That's nice.
I mean, money's great because you can spend it, you can help with the honeymoon, you can do with whatever you want with it. But these little gifts really, like, mean so much to you.
Sure.
Yeah, they really did. They taught us a lot about working through our issues and not trying to find, the easy way out of a scenario.
And now, what did you end up giving that couple at that wedding you were going to the following weekend?
So we ended up giving them cooking classes at Sur La Table.
Not a bad gift either. That's a pretty great gift.
I didn't think so.
Right.
I feel like
I
if you can
that.
Get along while you're cooking together, it's a really good start.
And did you tell them to wait 9 years before they used these cooking classes? I would have stuck with that theme.
I hope the gift card lasts that long.
All right. Well, it is so nice to hear your story, and it's a lovely little story of hope before Kevin's wedding. Aunt Allison was married to your Uncle Bill. Is he still around?
He's not. He passed about 8 years ago. Mm.
And, they did have their fights, and she, of course, mentioned that, right?
Of course, yes, many, many a time. They had three of their own kids, and then they helped raise four others. So they definitely had their struggles and got through it stronger.
You got to work on it. I know Bill claims that he never fights with his wife, and I never...
Pretty rarely, yeah.
Do you guys talk to each other?
No, it's been years.
Because when you say fights, a lot of times it is like the dumbest thing, like, honey, you loaded the dishwasher the wrong way or something. Oh, really? You don't like it? Then you do it. I mean, that's not a huge fight,
right?
But it's still sometimes you live with somebody, you share a life with them, you got to work at making it better.
Absolutely. And sometimes, it's not even the issue of, unloading the dishwasher. It's, you've had a long day at work and things just piled up and there was one more thing that just made you blow your top.
I'm going to make my own gift. I'm going to wrap up a bottle of tequila and two shot glasses and keep that for the next fight we get in.
That's a good move.
Because it didn't. Because then it's like you didn't want to open it. You
right.
You keep thinking this fight is not monumental enough to open up this box.
Right.
It's kept you guys on good behavior, didn't it, Kathy?
It did. It did. Because my Uncle Bill used to say nothing's ever so bad that it couldn't be worse. So we always
isn't that something?
there could always be something worse ahead of us and we might need our box then. So let's just fix this and move on.
I do have to say, Kathy, it's funny the way men and women are perceived differently. Like for your husband, your aunt said, hey, when you're in the fight, go get yourself a bottle of wine. But for you, she said, get a bubble bath and some shrimp. That's a very different dichotomy than...
Well, he was going to bring the wine home. There were two wine glasses in there.
Oh, you can share it. All right, you can share it, I guess. All right.
Right.
All right.
Right, we'd have to share it. But, yeah, basically wine, food, and flowers and a bubble bath.
Yeah.
We'll solve your problem.
Solves everything.
Are you writing any of this down, Kevin? Because, again, you're going to be a newlywed as of next weekend.
Yes. Well, I'm internalizing it.
Okay. Well, maybe I will...
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, good luck to you and Brandon, Kathy. It was a pleasure to talk to you and say hello to Aunt Allison.
Thanks, I will
Kath.
Do that. And thank you for having me
Absolutely.
On. I appreciate it.
All right. We will take a quick break, and then we have a lot more show coming your way next. It's Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN. Very quickly, later on the show, a couple of highlights. Ryan Burrow will be by. Some surprising news about Playboy magazine. And then also an EAS test later. Won't that be fun?
Bill Murdoch said that we were having an EAS test, emergency alert system.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with an EBS test, emergency broadcast system, which it evolved.
Yes, right.
And you wrote it on the schedule.
Yeah, I can't wait. Around 2:45, we'll do an EAS test. Boy, they're fun. I love them.
You have your number two pencil ready?
I'm ready to roll, yeah.
All right, good to know.
Yeah.
There was some news that we missed because it happened a couple of days ago. On Sunday, if you remember, at the 9/11 memorial,
yes,
Hillary Clinton took ill.
Yes, she did.
We didn't know at the time that she had pneumonia, which I still don't know that I would have
disclosed.
Fessed up. Yeah.
She has since said she didn't think it was that big of a deal that she could get through the rest of her day or the next few days with it.
I agree with that.
But there's been a lot of scrutiny from people saying, "Hey, if you've got something like that going on, you need to tell America that you've got pneumonia or whatever's wrong with you." But I don't know. I'm somewhere in the middle on that.
I don't think it's a big deal, but a lot of people are like, if she's not telling us that, what else is she not telling us?
Right.
Well, there was something that happened on Sunday night, just hours after her collapse at this 9/11 memorial. And it turned out to be pretty bad. Kevin. Hit the audio.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Sandra Bookman.
And I'm Joe Torres. We begin with the breaking news about Hillary Clinton's death. Hillary Clinton's doctor has just revealed the presidential candidate has been diagnosed with pneumonia.
Now, this after Clinton...
All right, so she was... he wanted to report the breaking news about Hillary Clinton's death.
Yes.
That was that night.
Yes. When most of America, if you were anywhere near... your internet or the television or radio, you knew that her health was in question, but you didn't know exactly what was going on. And they reported there in New York about her death.
But then he went on to say that her doctor reports that she's suffering from pneumonia. Can you suffer from pneumonia when you're dead?
Oh, that's a great question. Usually once you are dead, the pneumonia becomes a non-issue because people just go, right. It's terrible that she has pneumonia, but for heaven's sake, she's dead. So let's focus on that, as that anchor did.
Okay, but Joe Torres, when he reported, can we hear it one more time, Kevin, please?
I'm Sandra Bookman.
And I'm Joe Torres. We begin with the breaking news about Hillary Clinton's death. Hillary Clinton's doctor has just revealed the presidential candidate has been diagnosed with pneumonia.
That had been diagnosed. And when you hear Hillary Clinton's death, you're not hearing the rest of that sentence.
No, you focus more on the fact that she has expired, which would certainly be sad news.
All right. New York station WABC-TV confirmed that Joe Torres had meant to say... Hillary Clinton's health.
Oh, well, that makes a lot more sense, doesn't it?
Well, I want to know what happened because there's both an EAS test coming up
later. Coming later in the show.
But there's an EA and a TH in each of those words, death and health. Really?
No,
he
there
looked
is.
Up. Did he? Because don't they always read a teleprompter pretty much?
When you're doing the news, yeah.
You're an anchor.
You're reading it off a teleprompter, certainly, yeah.
So was someone messing with Joe Torres? Or did he just see death, but it looked like health, I could almost see where those words would look similar.
You know how when you're doing a read for one of the commercials or something, sometimes you just, maybe you're looking ahead a couple of words to see what's coming.
You mess yourself up.
This is a glaring error. This is a terrible thing to report about Hillary Clinton's death. Pneumonia is not that's no day at the beach either, but death is fairly much more serious. So, I mean, you can pin it on any one of those things, but please tell me that they have since apologized or tried to figure out how they can make amends. Because how many people were watching this and went, wait, what?
Everyone, because she had just collapsed at the 9/11 memorial. This is WABC TV in New York. Everybody's watching the news.
Yeah.
A spokesman said, quote, it was clear from the context of the story, the reporter's information and graphics on the screen that Secretary Clinton was alive and recovering. But I want you to look at this sentence because they have health and death in quotation marks.
Yeah,
you could see where you look up and you're just seeing EA and TH.
Yeah,
that really could happen to you.
But isn't his move or his co-anchor's move after reporting that to say quickly say, excuse me, I may have said death, health is the word I was looking for. They just kind of trudged on.
And that's a great question, Bill, because if you said something so preposterous.
Right. Wouldn't you call me out and go, wait, you said death? I'm sorry, I meant health.
Right. But it's just these newscasters, it's so professional, they don't really talk amongst themselves.
Right, right, right. There's no time allotted for that, for a quick, I said this, meant to say this.
Because
right.
I'm shocked the co-anchor didn't say something like, wait a minute,
right.
Death?
Yeah, there's ways to stress it. And actually, if you hear the way he kind of elongates the words that follow, he's not quite clearing it up, but he's leaving a little time to say, and now we're looking at a pneumonia situation for Hillary Clinton.
He had no idea he said death.
Oh, people, he didn't know?
Well, how could you? Because he would have caught himself. Wait a minute, she didn't die.
Right. Right.
Shortly after the on-air slip, an image began to circulate on Twitter, which appeared to show a web page confirming Mrs. Clinton's passing.
Oh, that's not good.
A dubious article purportedly run by ABC News carried the headline, Hillary Clinton reported to have died under hospital treatment at Montefiore Medical Hospital. It added Democrats in disagreement over procedures of nomination.
Oh, no.
This is terrible.
That's serious.
And then they can't find the webpage, but allegedly someone tweeted they took a screen grab of that thing I just said. Hillary Clinton reported to have died under hospital treatment. And then a string of bizarre conspiracy theories have surrounded Mrs. Clinton since her knees buckled and she was helped into a van at the event on 9/11.
Yeah.
She was taken to her daughter Chelsea's New York apartment to recuperate and later came out, hugged a little girl, told reporters she was feeling great.
Considering her death earlier that afternoon.
Right. Boy, she made a great comeback.
Yeah.
If she can prove anything,
right.
She can win a good fight.
Oh, yeah.
Twitter users claim the 68-year-old had employed a body double who came out of Chelsea's apartment.
Yeah. Maybe Steve will remember this. Steve Bertrand, are you available for rememberings? Years ago, there was a baseball player who I believe was Ted Williams who was watching a sporting event where they announced his death. And he's watching it at home, and he then called the station and said, as far as I'm concerned, you're wrong, because I'm sitting here watching the game, and I'm alive. So thanks for the memories, but I'm still here.
Well, can we hear it one more time, Kevin? Because I don't think he really, obviously,
you don't
he
think
didn't
he thought he said death.
No, and
no.
He looked up at the teleprompter and write the word death and the word health in front of you.
They
it's
look
pretty
similar,
close.
But their meanings are
a little different.
So different. Yeah, all right.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Sandra Bookman.
And I'm Joe Torres. We begin with the breaking news about Hillary Clinton's death. Hillary Clinton's doctor has just revealed the presidential candidate has been diagnosed with pneumonia.
Now this, after Clinton left the 9/11 memorial.
See, that's when the co-anchor jumps in and says, but she's probably not listening to him. She's just ready to read
ready
her line.
For her lines, yeah.
Very weird, but she's not dead, people.
No, there was an alderman here in Chicago, Vito Marzullo, who died a few times.
Really?
He
news reported his death a couple times. Right?
I think he died twice before he actually passed
away. Wow.
And then no one believed it. Right. It was like the anchor who cried wolf.
Let's bring him out right now. Vito Marzullo.
Here he is. All right, a quick break. Steve with the news, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Chicago's most accurate weather forecast. Today on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Oh, who didn't grab a Playboy magazine that was usually hidden in your dad's workbench? And yeah, girls looked at them too.
For the articles. Always no, for the articles.
Girls looked at them going, am I going to grow those someday?
Yeah. Yep. since we're talking about perversion, Ryan Burrow is here from the newsroom. Ryan, this is shocking. Playboy announced about a year ago.
About a year ago they made the announcement.
Right.
Yeah.
They didn't follow through, but they made the announcement that in the near future, now we're going back a year in time, that they would no longer have women without their clothes on in Playboy magazine, right?
Yeah.
And everybody said, well, that's a mistake because that's the reason people buy Playboy magazine is to see women without their clothes on. But there, at the time they said, well, there's so many other options for that. If you have the internet now, you could just go to the internet. If you're looking for that, that's what you'll find there.
Right. Sure, sure, exactly. And Kim Kardashian gives it away for free on her Instagram account, right? So really, what's the point of doing it? It's been kind of interesting. So since they started doing the non-nude magazines, that was back in March when they made that switch, and everyone said, okay. Mm-hmm. And it was really weird, too. The first, by the way, I'm going to have a meeting with HR after this. I've had to do a lot of research.
Yeah,
and,
sure. Absolutely.
And going to like four or five computers typing in, you know, Playboy in the
and
Google
I noticed,
search. That's going to stick with me for
I
a
looked
while,
at
I
your,
think.
I looked at your ledger, and it said that all the research is being done in a tree fort, which is very rare.
Yeah, it's weird. There are mattresses all around, and I keep lifting them up, and there you go.
Well, I don't know.
These aren't your normal like studio shot kind of things. They are studio shot, but a lot of them kind of look like selfies. They look kind of grainy. They're kind of not posed for, but kind of caught in the moment shots. You know, they're. It's a little bit different of a style. Let's just put it this way then, you know, what we would think would be Playboy of this, like,
the ultra,
you know,
gloss.
Exactly. The super glossy, you know, and you know, makeup and everything like that. This is almost like, you know, someone who just, you know, got out of the shower, working out at the gym or something like that. It's kind of got that very raw appearance to it.
But are there or are there now, like, I have not seen a Playboy magazine in years. Are there naked women in there now,
you know,
or there
I,
are still
I don't
not,
believe
right?
any of them are fully nude. I too have not done apparently enough research on this to find out. But for the most part, it sounds as though they are covered up a little bit. But here's the heart of this. This is why we're talking about this today. After 6 months, Playboy actually says that their newsstand sales are up. Considerably up about 30% since the switch happened in March. Now, let's flash back to March. Things were not good in March.
Right.
You know, I mean, as you
they had a rough couple of years.
It was. And subscriptions have been consistently down, and they saw that trend going. But now it looks like while subscriptions continue to drop off of people who had been subscribing for a while, new subscriptions are starting to build 100,000 over the last year alone.
I guess those articles are good.
Now you can actually say you read it for the articles and people won't smirk, right? Well, people might still smirk. But still, you know, they brought on a lot of talent to come in and write those articles. They always have celebrity writers, whether they be male or female, writing for it. So, you know, it's supposed to be this big whole entertainment package now, not just, you know, the angel in the centerfold. You know,
I was positive that this decision would be the end of Playboy magazine, that they would have to fold up because I thought at the time, I'm wrong, I guess, after 6 months, but if people were looking for that sort of thing, and I do have to say that of the men's magazines out there, Playboy was considered to be the most stylish, the one that kind of...
It's not Hustler or
it's not
foreign,
smutty.
Foreign right. ones that we see out right. there, you know? Yeah.
And you know what else? And you're probably too young to know this, but for a long time, in every month's Playboy magazine, they had what they called the Playboy interview, where they would take one of the hottest names of politics or show business or you name it, sports. And whoever did those interviews, it was a pretty near perfect interview. It was one of the most highly respected, despite the fact that it was in a men's magazine. That was a big deal.
Who doesn't want to read a Bob Dole interview right. in Playboy, right?
But it really was, especially like I'll go back to the Jimmy Carter interview. There was a Jimmy Carter interview that got so much attention because he talked about how he lusted in his heart. And it was...
Did you talk about peanuts and peaches?
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, those came up as well. But that was one of their most successful features. Sure. So they were known for things other than just naked ladies. But when you think bonus. Naked ladies. Bonus. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You think? Yeah. Yeah.
Here I am reading an article, and all of a sudden, look at the next page.
How about that?
And maybe you could get your dad to buy you one. Hey, there's this great article about Jimmy Carter. Can you please get pick up, you know, while you're at Walgreens?
Yes. Yes. They were very good at telling you what sort of stereo equipment was good for you.
Sure.
That sort of thing.
They were good with woofers and tweeters.
Yes. Which they don't show anymore.
But the interesting thing is we thought that that kind of offering was already being made, right, with Men's Health Magazine.
Yeah.
With those kind of magazines that have already come out and kind of, you know, showed you how to get out of a bear trap if you ever get caught. And in the meantime, here's a picture of Jennifer Love Hewitt, you know, half-naked Jennifer Love Hewitt. And then the next page, they tell you about how to, you know, carbo load ahead of your next marathon, whatever, you know. And then the next page, there'd be a picture of Kim Kardashian. So, you know, we always thought that there was going to, you know, like, isn't this market already full? Of, you know, half naked women, I guess, you know, and these articles that go along with it. You know, I would assume that Playboy's pretty happy. We reached out to them. We have not gotten a response from them. You know, I'm sure it's kind of a mixed bag for them because on one hand, while they are seeing new sales at the newsstands and they are seeing some new people jump on as subscribers, they are still losing a lot of the old subscribers.
Right.
So, you know, you're kind of it's kind of out with the old and in with the new. But on the other hand, too, you don't want to lose the people that you've already had, you know, that have made your brand as popular as it is.
It's Hugh Hefner's daughter, Christy Hefner, who I believe runs the magazine. Now, Hugh spends all of his time as a full-time raisin.
There he goes. About this time, Bill cracks himself up and we lose him for the rest of the afternoon.
I don't know. But his daughter, this was done under her regime, you know, the switch in the magazine. And I guess, you know, if you're the board there at Playboy, you'd be happy. You'd be going, hey, we're increasing sales.
And I think the style that they're doing this, the kind of, you know, selfie style or more relaxed style or more everyday style.
Yeah.
Is playing into a new generation. I mean, that's what they're used to seeing. They're used to seeing these, you know, pictures from their friends on Facebook and Instagram. And it just speaks more to the social medium that we've been using as opposed to something that's, you know, I mean, how many times have we watched a video and if it seems almost too slick and too well produced, it's like, okay, well, whatever, a bunch of Hollywood elites get together. But if you see a raw video of something, you feel like nothing's being censored, everything's kind of out there and you can interpret yourself. And that's kind of the mindset of a lot of people in this new generation. And, you know, the photos go along with it, I guess.
I can't find one naked woman on Playboy.com.
That's even on the website?
Here. No, there's not. In fact, their Playboy Playmate is from 2011.
Oh,
I'm not kidding.
I wonder why that would be. Have they not updated the site in that long?
No, because there's new stuff, too. Because I wanted to read what the Playboy Playmate enjoyed.
Oh.
Long walks on the beach.
Always.
A guy with a
sense
of
humor.
Yeah. Puppy dogs.
Yep. Definitely.
I can't find it.
Do we think other men's magazines will follow suit, Ryan?
You know, we're kind of at a weird point right now. How many people are buying magazines? You know,
Yaya's magazine no longer have naked women in it?
I don't subscribe to that one. I'm not.
That's
exactly...
the one for Greek grandmas.
Oh, okay.
It's got Greek grandmothers in
there. I got you. I mean, as long as people are jumping on flights and they can't turn on their internet, I guess people will be buying these kind of magazines.
You know, speaking of flights, the funniest thing in the world to me is if you go to any airport anywhere in the country and you go to any of those magazine stand type bookstore magazines that they have in the airport, they always have a full complement of men's magazines. And I always think, how weird would it be to get on a flight and have some guy sitting next to you just paging through that men's magazine?
I've watched movies before that have gotten a little raunchy at times, and I start getting a little nervous. You know, you got a little girl sitting behind you. You've got an old lady sitting next to you, and all of a sudden, you know, American Pie pops up.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, wait.
Remember they used to have the airline version of movies?
Yeah. The cleaner version.
Right, and now that you've got your own screen in front of you, they don't have those.
Right, yeah. You can see whatever you want.
Game of Thrones is a bad idea on a transcontinental flight.
So true.
As Steve makes his voyage out to Ireland, right. You know, and he's got that,
It's true, we run into it then, you know.
You can watch two seasons worth on the way to Ireland. It's great. Ryan, thank you. We appreciate the report. That's Ryan Burrow. We'll take a quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Did you hear what Ryan Burrow just said as he was leaving here? We were talking about Playboy magazine, which if you missed, Ryan just did a report about how Playboy, now without naked women in their magazine, they have been doing that or not doing that since March. They're actually increasing their sales, which is shocking to everybody, especially me. I thought that's the end of Playboy magazine. Ryan just said he interviewed a guy who has a newsstand a couple of blocks from here, and he said in an average month, he sells 2 copies of Playboy magazine per month. That seems way low, doesn't it? For a magazine that at one time was so prominent and so important, 2 a month?
Because there's no nudies in it anymore.
Yeah, I guess.
And somebody just, I was going to Playboy.com. Again, if anybody in HR is listening, it was show research.
It's for work. It's for your job.
It says, Bill, Wendy, you have to subscribe to Playboy Plus to get the current women or playmates and them being nude.
Yeah,
of course,
that's true.
I can't subscribe as my wife won't let me, but obviously Steve Bertrand's will.
Yeah. You know, people just don't buy things that they read anymore. My gas station... I would go there to get a newspaper to ride the train to work.
Yeah,
and he goes, "Yeah, on Tuesdays we only get 2 now because
that's it."
Yeah, no, I'm serious. And 2. This is a gas station on a major thoroughfare.
Because everybody's reading stuff on their phones.
So he's like, "Yeah, if you don't get here before the 2 go, because we just don't usually sell 3.
2
papers. I think it was on Tuesdays. 2 for Tuesdays.
2 for Tuesday." All right, John, we were talking about reading stuff on an airplane, and Bertrand says don't watch Game of Thrones. John, what were you reading on an airplane?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. First of all, I love both of you. Love the show. Even love Steve.
Steve. Thank you, John.
It's a whole lot of love.
anyway, several years ago, I was, at O'Hare or Midway or not one of those airports. And and the Farrah Fawcett edition of Playboy came out, and I've never bought a Playboy magazine in my entire life, and I couldn't pass up getting that magazine.
I even bought that one.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, she was on the wall in the red bathing suit my entire youth. So I did it, and I try very delicately not to open it on the plane, and it didn't work. And I sat there and I paged through the pictorial, and I felt like every eye in the entire airplane was looking at me. But I had to do it. It was the one and only Playboy that I ever bought. And then when my wife and I moved to a new house, it was literally in the sock drawer.
Yeah.
And as she was packing up, she found it. And just threw it away. Didn't even question it. Just threw it away. And it always bummed me out about that. But I would.
Yeah, especially that. I do remember that issue because we were working together at the Loop when it came out, and they were anticipating it being, I don't know if it did, but it was going to be the top-selling issue of all time, that first Farrah Fawcett appearance.
Yeah. And it was well worth it.
Yep.
Well worth it.
Yep.
I can't believe she's gone. I really can't. There are times when I think about her. Oh, my God, she died.
Yeah. Hard to envision.
Yeah.
Thank you, John. I appreciate the call.
All right, guys.
John, if
you
I can find my copy, I'll give it to you, all right?
Oh, that'd be awesome. Thanks, Wendy.
You're welcome, John.
Is Little Annie Fanny still in Playboy? Do they still have Little Annie Fanny?
You know, it's funny you mention that because, Larry, what don't they have in Playboy anymore besides naked women?
Well, I subscribed to it for years, but I used to always enjoy the jokes they had in there.
Right.
And they used to have a good sports section when the football and the basketball seasons, pro and college, came out.
Larry, I don't know if you remember this. They
talking
had
about that, but they don't have that anymore. So my subscription's up in February, and I'm not going to renew it.
You're not renewing?
No.
Do you remember they had a writer named Anson Mount, and he would always pick all the top football teams and basketball teams, and he was uncanny. He picked them
really
amazing every year.
Really,
yeah.
Really good. I enjoyed them.
Yeah.
That's what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Have a good week.
Thank you, Larry. Oh, well, I can't believe subscriptions are up.
Yeah.
Customers aren't.
All right. You're a shock jock. We'll take a quick break, and then more of us. Bill and Wendy Stern on WGN.
It's a lovely sunny day. Get outside and enjoy it. It really is picture perfect out there.
Isn't it? Couldn't do better than this. Impossible. I don't know about you, but I will admit I am a sucker for this thing that happens on the internet where they tell you the greatest ice cream parlor in all 50 states, or they'll tell you the state bird of all 50 states, or they'll tell you the best place to buy shag carpeting in all 50 states. Whatever it is, if all 50 states are there, I get curious.
I like it too.
I get very curious. This morning over at Huffington Post, what they did is they went around to all 50 states and they found the strangest name for a town or city in each of the 50 states. Now, what they don't do is they don't explain how these towns got their name, which is fine. I guess it's better for us to just imagine how they got their name.
We'll come up with our own stories.
I'm trying to think of what the best way to do this. Should I start out west and then just move eastward? Is that the way to play it?
Just so you get Illinois in.
I'll get Illinois in. It's a town in Illinois that I don't think I've ever heard. No, I know for a fact I've never heard of.
Well, you can't start with that one.
I'll get to that. That's in the middle of the country, obviously. So let's start out west in Washington, Big Bottom, Washington. I don't know why it would have been named that. Any ideas?
No, but I like it.
Big Bottom, Washington. In Oregon, they've got a town called Boring, Oregon. I think I do know how it got that name. I think you could say that about most of Oregon. No disrespect.
Wasn't Mike Leonard just talking about Boring, Oregon? Oh, no, it was a couple named Boring.
Yeah, their last name was Boring, I think.
Party, Boring Party, get yeah. tables ready.
That's it. In California, you have Mormon Bar, California.
Do they go to a bar?
Mormons are not allowed to drink, I don't think. I don't think so.
That's oxymoronic.
Isn't it, though? In Alaska, you have a town called Chicken, Alaska.
I like that.
In Nevada, Jackpot, Nevada.
Well, that makes sense.
That makes perfect. That, so far, of all the ones, is the most fitting. In Idaho, you would have a town called Beer Bottle Crossing, Idaho. Now, this one I don't even find remotely amusing. Utah, Nibley, Utah.
You don't think Nibley's funny? It's fun to say.
I guess it, well.
Nibley.
All right, you won me over. I was a little torn on that one.
I don't know why it's called that, but it's fun to say.
Arizona has a place you could visit called Catfish Paradise, Arizona. That sounds beautiful. I would love to go there. Hawaii, this one also does make sense. Volcano, Hawaii.
Yeah.
I think I know why. In Montana, you could go to a place called Big Sag, Montana.
I wouldn't want to go there.
That's probably a sad story, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Wyoming, Chugwater, Wyoming.
Chugwater.
Huh. Colorado has Parachute, Colorado. This one is the most delicious sounding so far. Ready?
Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Hershey, Pennsylvania is delicious. Don't get me wrong. But in New Mexico, Pie Town, New Mexico.
I want to live there.
I would go to Pie Town in a minute.
You get a different pie every day, just delivered to your doorstep.
I know you're kidding, but that's my dream. If you ask me what my dream was, that what you just described is my dream. A different pie, a little slice of pie every day, different flavor.
Pie is the perfect food.
Pretty good food.
Better than cake, better than cupcakes, better than cookies.
It's pretty good.
We do birthday pies in my family now instead of birthday cakes.
Yeah. I like it. In North Dakota, Zap, North Dakota. Evidently, someone got electrocuted.
Yeah, don't plug in.
I don't know why. But then in South Dakota, Plenty Bears, South Dakota.
I'm not going there.
Too many bears. If those two towns could get together and somehow zap the bears, you wouldn't have a problem anymore in South Dakota. Nebraska has a problem with animals too, Wendy. Worms, Nebraska.
Oh, who wants to go there?
Let's say you were in the market to buy a house, and it was down to two houses in Nebraska, one in Lincoln, Nebraska, and the other in Worms, Nebraska, just by virtue of the name. Wouldn't you go, I think I'll live in Lincoln.
Yeah. Even like if you're picking out a house that you love, but it's the bad street name, you wouldn't seal the deal.
Oh, that, I'm trying to remember what the street was. We looked at a house on a street with a name that was a little unpleasant, and I went, just by virtue of the name, I don't want that on our mail every day.
And to, if somebody goes, oh, where? What's your address?
Yeah.
1234 Blah Street.
Who would want to live there?
I don't know.
Doesn't make sense. In Kansas, you could live in a town called Skiddy, Kansas.
Skiddy.
Skiddy, S-K-I-D-D-Y.
Huh.
They're a little more optimistic in Oklahoma. You could live in OK, Oklahoma. O-K-A-Y. Which is also how you abbreviate the state of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
OK. Texas, again, this one is fairly evident. We've had a few that are kind of evident, like Jackpot, Nevada, or Volcano,
Hawaii,
right? Ding Dong, Texas. I think don't we know why?
No.
I think they love ding dongs. The people there love Dolly Madison neat tea treats.
Wasn't there Ding Dong School or something?
Yeah, there was a TV show called Ding Dong School. Minnesota has a town called Little Canada, Minnesota.
That seems ridiculous.
That was for short people that wanted to desert during the Vietnam War. They went to Little Canada, Minnesota, where they were quickly rounded up and forced to serve.
Those were wee factors.
The wee factors. In Iowa, what cheer, Iowa? Two different words, what, W-H-A-T, cheer. What cheer, Iowa? Don't know why it's called that. What am I leaving out here? Oh, in, I can't read my own writing. Missouri, there's a town called Frankenstein, Missouri.
I wouldn't mind visiting, but I wouldn't want to live there.
Too frightening. Way too frightening. And then in the state, let me see, if I'm at Missouri, so it must be Arkansas that's right beneath our Missouri, right? Isn't it?
And why, and I know this is a stupid question, but really, why is it pronounced Arkansas and Kansas and spelled, isn't pronounced Kansas?
I don't know.
I mean, really.
Wait,
it's spelled,
do that again?
It's like Arkansas,
right,
and Kansas. So if it's Arkansas, why isn't Kansas pronounced Kansas?
That is a great, I don't know the answer
to
that.
I really am asking.
I don't know, but that would seem right. I don't know. Where did I leave off? Am I in Louisiana?
Can we take a phone call while
you're
looking?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, Jane, how's it going?
Fine. This is Jane from Oak Forest.
Hey, Jane. What's up? How are you?
There's a town. Fine. How are you doing?
Couldn't be better.
There's a town near on the way to Princeton, and it's called Depew. Mm. And I can't remember how you spell it, either D-E-P-E-W or D-U. I just always thought that name was really weird.
It has a negative sound to it, doesn't it?
It doesn't sound too good.
No.
Where do you live? Depew, Illinois?
I think it sounds horrible. And I'll have to look it up because I think somebody did tell me a story about it. And I don't remember it, so it's sorry.
But yeah, just the name alone is not pleasant. Jane, thank you.
You're quite welcome.
Have a great day. So if we did leave off in Arkansas, and I think we did, your strangest town there in the state would be Toadsuck, Arkansas.
There's also a possum grape, Arkansas.
Oh, there is.
Possum grape?
Yep.
Not
quite as weird as
not
Toadsuck.
Not as weird, right, that one. Because when you do that, doesn't it give you some sort of a...
LSD effect.
Yeah, right? I'm not imagining that. That's a real thing, isn't it?
I'm not a toad licker, but I know...
Anymore.
I never licked
anymore.
A toad.
Anymore.
I'll tell you something. I would rather lick pretty much anything else other than a toad.
Could you make a copy of that, Kevin, and just have that ready at all times? If you could just make a
just
copy of that?
Just record it on Nick DiGilio's show.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then more of these. These are the strangest named cities or towns in each of the 50 states. We'll get to a couple more. If you want to jump in, please do. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right, over at Huffington Post, they've got all 50 states, and then they tell you what the strangest town or city or municipality is in each of the 50 states. Do you have a favorite so far? Is there a favorite of yours? They're all good. Every one of them is good. In Michigan, there's a town called Chili, Michigan. I don't know why. In Mississippi.
It's chili.
Well.
Is it chili like cold or chili
like the food?
Really?
C-H-I-L-I. Huh. Oh, I didn't do Illinois. Chicken Bristle, Illinois.
Chicken Bristle.
Doesn't that make us sound like a bunch of hicks? Chicken Bristle, Illinois.
Where's that located, I wonder?
Just south of the city. 5 minutes south.
I always liked Effingham.
Yeah.
There is a great antique shop that we go to. That's about the first time we decided to stop on our way to Nashville.
Yeah.
I love Effingham.
It sounds defiant.
I want to be the queen of Effingham.
Effingham,
I should be.
Effingham, man.
To me, it sounds like somebody's angry at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love it there. Oh, we have more people calling.
Yes.
Do you have one for Michigan?
Yeah, Michigan was Chili, Michigan.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Bill, you know another Michigan city?
I do. There's a small town outside of Detroit called Hell, Michigan.
Hell, Michigan.
You're going to hell.
And they have two marathons a year. The one in winter is called When Hell Freezes Over.
Love it.
And the one in the summer is Run Through Hell.
But when you get there, you have to arrive by way of a handbasket for some weird reason. That's the only way they allow you in.
Don't blink or you'll miss the town.
Thank you so much, Bill.
We appreciate it. Another one. Sandy, I don't believe this one.
Yeah, it's called Monkey's Eyebrow. It's in Kentucky.
Let me see what they have for Kentucky. Monkey's Eyebrow, you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, they say supposedly, like, when you look at the town from up on a hill,
yeah,
that it looks like two monkeys' eyebrows.
Why a monkey?
I'm not from Kentucky. I don't know.
All right, we can't blame you.
Thank you, Sandy.
Thanks, Sandy. They list Kentucky, the strangest town name, as being Pig Kentucky, but Monkey's Eyebrow is way weirder. I like Monkey's Eyebrow a lot better.
Pig.
In Indiana, it would be Santa Claus, Indiana, which we mentioned earlier, the home of Jay Cutler.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's where he's from. Yeah. Ohio, has a town called Dull, Ohio, which should be the sister city of Boring, Oregon, but it is not. But it would make sense. Smart, Tennessee, and Smart is spelled S-M-A-R-T-T.
Okay, that is the fun. That's my favorite one.
That's the most ironic one.
Smart spelled wrong.
Yeah. Alabama has a place you could go to called Scratch Ankle, Alabama.
That makes sense. A lot of Skeeters down there.
Yep. Flippin', Georgia. If you don't like Effingham, go to Flippin', Georgia. Florida has a town called Spuds. Spuds, Florida.
That should be in Idaho.
That should really be in Idaho. How did that happen? South Carolina has a town called Coward.
Ooh.
North Carolina has a town called Why Not. Virginia has a city called Fries. Pennsylvania has a town called Booger Hole.
Why didn't they just call it Nostril?
I don't know why they didn't. New York has a town called Handsome Eddie.
God, to only be named Eddie and live there.
Yeah.
That would be great.
That's great.
Doris wants to jump in. Hi, Doris.
Hello, Wendy and Bill and Steve. I love you guys.
Oh, thanks.
You make my afternoon ride great.
You're very nice. Thanks, Doris.
There's a small town, and Mr. Bertrand would know where this is. It's called Shabance, Illinois, and there's only one in the United States.
Shabance, Illinois.
Yes, if you put zip code in 60922, and you're only going to find one.
Yeah. But now, isn't that one where they keep disagreeing on the pronunciation of the city name? Am I imagining that?
That is correct.
Yeah.
It's Shabance, and sometimes they call it Shabancy, whatever.
I know it as Shabancy, I think.
No, it's Shabance.
A farm town, right? Isn't it primarily?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It very much is.
Yep. I've heard of that. Well, thank you. We appreciate it, Doris. Have a great day. Thanks so much.
We have a text. There's in Arkansas, they have some really goofy names. There's a Morrow. So where are you going? I'm going tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Did they name it that just for that reason?
I don't know, maybe. They have a great sense of humor in Arkansas.
In Vermont, there's a town called Drummer, Vermont, which does not get the respect the other towns in Vermont get.
I hear you.
In New Hampshire, you could visit Mosquitoville, New Hampshire. That sounds like a good touristy place. Mosquitoville. In Maine, Baldhead, Maine.
I've heard of that.
Baldhead, Maine. Massachusetts has Woonsocket.
Ew.
Woonsocket.
Two of the worst words ever.
Woonsocket?
Combined.
What about Connecticut? Moose up.
Moose up.
Hey, moose up. That's how.
Let's start saying that.
That's how. There's gangs of moose, and that's what meese. Mooses, and that's how they address each other. That's their greeting, their moose greeting in Connecticut. The other states in New England, Wendy, are too small to read the names. I'm going to be very honest with you. 10 years ago, I could have read you all these. They're written so small. You've not been to New England, right?
Never.
It's amazing because if you live in the Midwest, as you and I both grew up in the Midwest, and you see maps and you say, look at how small those states are. And when you're there, like you could be in seven states in an hour. You just drive.
Seriously?
And you're, yeah, they're all this big. They're too small to read.
All right. Well, Kevin wanted to know if, you know, Gramps needed help.
Can you come out there, Bill?
Yeah. I can't read these, Kevin.
You can't
too
read
small.
The dosage of the aspirin either.
Oh, I did Connecticut. Can you read these? These are too small. These states? I really do. This is the oldest I've ever felt in my entire life.
Which one you want here?
And could you tell those kids to get off of my lawn and bring me some Metamucil?
I think Satan's Kingdom in Maryland.
Satan's Kingdom,
Maryland. Doesn't that sound like a place it'd be fun to spend a weekend?
I think I was there one weekend.
Did you get to Dummer, New Hampshire?
No. Dumber New Hampshire.
That seems like an inappropriate thing for New Hampshire.
It's not nice.
Aren't they Richie Riches?
They're very
over
polite
there?
New Hampshire. I don't know why they'd be saying something like that. Yeah. I think that's all 50, I think. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's pretty interesting.
And I'm going to go to each of these 50, Wendy. That's my goal, is to visit each of these 50.
I want to go to this place. Hey, Jack.
Hey, I got a couple for you, but before I tell you, I want to know, when Bill was on Major League, was he the announcer that sat next to Bob Uecker?
No, that is my friend Skip Gripparis, a Chicago comic, very funny man. I'm the guy out in the bleachers who sings Wild Thing to Charlie Sheen and has the diatribe about the ball being too high to be a home run.
Okay, you're with the three guys with the big drum.
And, yeah, that's me. That's me.
Okay. Here's my two towns, Monkeyshine, Kentucky.
Love it.
And Intercourse, Pennsylvania.
Intercourse, Pennsylvania.
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
And Bill and Wendy, I love you guys. You crack me up. I drive all over the surrounding states of Illinois. And Wendy, I just love to hear you laugh.
Oh, well, Bill, working with Bill, it happens every day.
Yeah. Jack, you're so kind. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, drive safely.
You guys are awesome.
You're the best. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you, Jack.
Wasn't that nice?
It was pretty nice.
All right, let's take a quick break. In a little bit, Ro and Anna will be in. We'll find out what
they're
going to be in a second. So we'll say hello to them next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.